I was grabbing my palm was right on this button, but I was holding it with the wrong hand.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay, Grandpa.
Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast, the not-so-PC PC gaming podcast. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Emilio.
And we got our VR in last week. Very exciting here. I tried it out, so I'm gonna pull it up here if you're watching. If not, too bad. But this thing is really, you know, my biggest concern going into the whole VR thing was like, it's too much work. It's too much setup, configuration, troubleshooting, all this and that. This thing is actually really, really simple. It's the Oculus Quest. So it's the wireless one. And here's the cable that we got. Should have got a longer one. This is like a 10-foot cable.
Yeah.
I can't reach the bigger part of my house. So I'm kind of stuck in a corner with it. But this thing was super easy to set up. Like, I couldn't believe it, man. I just installed the program on the computer, plugged it in, boop, boop, boop. Oh, I had to add, like, something on my cell phone to get it connected to Wi-Fi. But then it just pretty much set itself up. You install Steam VR and then, like, launch whatever game you want to use. And it works pretty good. I did run into some trouble later, though, and it was acting a little finicky, and I plugged it into a different USB port. Then it was okay. So I don't know what that was about, but it's kind of picky about what USB ports you plug it into. They were on the back. They weren't like those front panel ones, but, you know, sometimes the ones on the back are, they have different controllers. So like some may be better than others. So I just kind of started moving them around until one started working really well. But I don't know why anybody would get the 128 gig. So this one's a 64 gig. The operating system takes up a little less than 20 gigs.
Okay.
So you still got like 42 gigs, and the games are like half a gig, maybe 1.5, like tops. You know, a lot of the applications are pretty small, right around a gig. Huh. And you can delete them to make room for other ones. But I was pretty impressed at how easy this was to get working. The only thing is, like, this is $400.
Yeah.
The, what is it? Not the Vive. Index.
Index
is $1,000.
Yeah.
You definitely notice a difference in the video quality.
Okay.
Like, this is way better than the DK1, obviously. The Vive, which was the one that you had here for a while, right?
Yeah.
So the Vive was, that one was pretty good. I think this might be a little less than the Vive. I'm not sure. I can't remember that one too well. I didn't use it all that much. But I mean, this is definitely good. It totally works, but it doesn't quite have the index's fidelity.
Yeah.
But
it looks still super awesome. Simple, man.
Yeah. It. I don't know if I had this problem with the other headsets because I never wore them that long, but I definitely feel it if I'm wearing this for a while. Like, I get little marks under my eyes. Yeah. Try it on there.
Oh, it's definitely lighter than the other ones, big time.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Way lighter.
Yeah. I mean, I can kind of feel it tugging at my head. Now, what's really cool about this is they've got this thing called pass-through, and I enabled something. HollowPoint was explaining a lot of things to me. And one of the things he mentioned is if you you can enable something in the settings to like double tap aside, and it enables the pass through, which basically you look through these cameras on the front here.
Oh.
So you can, it's just like you're looking out in front of you.
So you don't have to take it off.
Exactly. You don't have to take it off.
Worried about something.
Yep. Exactly. And then you double tap again and you're back in. It's
like
super convenient.
Fucking Cyclops.
Yeah.
From the side of your head.
Shooting laser beams out of your eyes. Yeah. And it, you don't need the light boxes. It works better if you have a well-lit room too. So, you know, make sure you got the lights on when you're using that. But the apps, when I was using like VR chat, just on the headset alone, it was a little bit laggy here and there, you could tell, but, that might've been on other people's end too.
So question, when do you know when it's plugged into your computer? Is your computer doing the calculations?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all the heavy lifting's done by your computer when it's plugged in.
Yeah, when you enable the Oculus Link or whatever they call it, and you run a game from there. Yeah, your computer's doing all the work.
Okay, or the Steam VR is running it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
and then when you're unplugged, then it's all on board.
Yep. Then it's using this. Okay. It heats up just a little bit, not really that much, though. I was kind of surprised. I was expecting this thing to melt my face.
So even like virtual, I mean, it's pretty small. Virtual reality is a small file.
Well, I played that on Steam.
Oh, gotcha, yeah, gotcha.
Off of your account.
All right.
Yeah. And you know what? I was concerned, like, oh, this doesn't have a headset. That kind of sucks. It actually does have speakers. It doesn't have, like, the speakers that drop down over your ears like the Index. But okay. I don't know. There's somewhere, like, right in here. And it seriously sounds like you have headphones on.
Weird.
Yeah. Like, it's...
Are you sure it's not in the band?
Maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah, I see little grooves there, I think.
No. There's no way that could be it. No? Yeah. But, yeah, man. Like, the speakers actually sound really good. I was very impressed for that. When you're wearing it, like, you can't even really tell.
Fucking awesome. So, for $400, what do you think?
I think it's great, man. Like, this is absolutely, like, because $1,000's a lot of money, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot. You could build yourself a gaming computer, like, a pretty good gaming computer for $1,000, dude. Like,
or buy yourself a monitor, which is all I did for $1,000.
Yeah, or one monitor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, $400 is such a, that's such a more reasonable price to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's something I could see people spending on something like this. And this is, like, the best you're going to get for that price. So.
It doesn't feel cheap either.
No.
I like the materials.
No, it's solid. And, you know, the problem with the Vive, I don't know about the Index because I didn't use it as much, but the controller on the Vive, people would always accidentally hit that menu button that would pop them back out to Steam. And I didn't have that problem with these controllers. They're pretty good. It can kind of sense when your fingers are on them. So, you know, your in-game hand will make a fist or, like, point a finger or thumbs up. You can do that stuff by placing your fingers in different areas. It's got some limited control like that.
I don't know about this grip button, though. Is that just letting the computer know that you're holding it?
The one on the side.
Palm button?
That's usually the one that you're talking about, this one on the side here, right?
Yeah, this one.
Yeah, that one is the one you use for grabbing things a lot.
Interesting, but yeah. I feel like I'm always pushing it if I hold it.
Yeah, no,
this one.
Are you that? That's the left-handed one.
Oh, I'm holding it wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. I was grabbing my palm was right on this button, but I was holding it with the wrong hand.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay, Grandpa. Look at Grandpa. He's only with the wrong hand.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm pretty happy with it, man. Like, I kind of sampled a lot of different things out there, a lot of the, you know, YouTube videos. I couldn't imagine playing a scary game in VR, dude.
Why don't you load one up?
I don't know if I had any, but even like the underwater ones where a giant whale comes at you, I was like, nope. No, dude, I don't know about that. There was one where it's like big cats and it puts you like in a cage with a cheetah and it like drops the meat right in front of your face and the cat comes right at you. And I was like, oh, hell no, dude. Oh man. It's really in your face. It's crazy.
It's kind of like 3D movies. They make sure to put those things in there and that's what they're doing. The whole demo is just to like jump out at you.
Yeah. They're definitely playing it up. So yeah, I messed around with like YouTube VR, like some videos they had on there. I messed around with, VR chat. That's kind of interesting. It's, you know, it's a pretty cool concept, but you get over it pretty quick.
It's almost a social experiment, that whole thing.
Yeah, but nobody's really talking in there. And if there is, it's usually like kids and they're usually just, you know, doing stupid memes or whatever.
Yeah.
But what I really enjoyed was this app called Big Screen. I'm going to pull it up here.
Yeah, I've used it before.
Big Screen VR.
Uh-huh.
It's basically like, it's like a hangout, but also it's meant to be more like a movie theater experience. So, you know, you can open up your room or you go into somebody else's room. I went into someone's room. They were playing Starship Troopers, the movie, man. Oh, they were watching that.
It's coming up a lot these days.
And what I noticed is some of the rooms I would walk into, like, the movies looked terrible. They were, like, real choppy, poor resolution, you know. So maybe it was a bad connection. Then I'd walk into another one, and it looked perfectly fine. I mean, still, it's not like watching a movie on your own, but it was pretty good. It's pretty good. Plus, you can sit there and look at the other people around you watching the movie, so it's a little more social.
That's a completely new thing for big screen for me. This is where, like, I would use this for, like, web browsing.
Oh, okay,
you can make a really big web browser, porn, stuff like that.
Well, you can pull up your desktop in this and use it for other applications as well. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a great application. It's free, and I was playing it just on the loaded into the headset, not even using it on Steam. I mean, you can get it with Steam there. I wonder if it would be better, like if you're streaming a movie.
So I almost feel like it just makes sense to always have it plugged in for the most part, just for a better experience, mm-hmm. right?
Even if it is plugged in, you can just use the headset. You can disconnect from the Quest Link and just use the headset. And yeah, that charges it a little bit too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like a trickle charge. Mm-hmm. And compared to the Vive, the wire is minimal, man. This thing is tiny. Yeah,
dude, it's a USB cable.
Yeah, it's a USB cable. Yeah. Compared to the other one, which was like a thick cable.
Yeah.
And then it had another audio cable.
Video cable, audio cable.
Yeah, and you'd get wrapped up. I made the joke back then that I learned through VR that I can only dodge left. Mm-hmm. And so that, like, after a while, I'd be dodging. Next thing I know, I fucking tied myself up and I cocooned myself and fell over.
Yeah. You can, I mean, that does still kind of happen with this because you do have one cable. I wish I would have got like a 16 foot cable though. Maybe I can get like a USB.
How much was that one? That cable?
Cheap, like $18 or something.
Dude, just buy the other
plus
one.
Plus the adapter.
Because if we get the longer one, you can hang it from the ceiling.
Yeah. Well, here's,
you know what I mean? And not have to deal with any of it.
You might be able to get an extension cable, but here's the thing. I don't even know if you would technically need a cable. They send you this cable. Well, it's pretty short. This is probably like a 6-foot USB-C cable.
Okay.
If your computer doesn't have a USB-C connection, you could get like an adapter USB-C to USB 3.0 or 3.1. So technically, like if you're using this like sitting only, and your computer has a USB-C port, you don't even really need to buy another cable.
Were you finding were you playing everything sitting?
No. Most of it I was not, which was kind of a problem because the room scale, they have like sitting and then room scale. So like the room scale stuff I was doing was difficult because, you know, there's not much room in front of my computer.
Yeah.
It would be great if I could like move it over, like push my couch out of the way, move it over to the living room area.
Well, if you turned your bed, that would give you a lot more room.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, like long ways, yeah. But still, it would be better just moving the couch out of the way and having that whole space right there.
If you're wondering why I have a photographic memory of Bobby's apartment, it's because it hasn't changed in 10 years.
Yeah.
And he only has 4 items in his house.
Yeah,
it's easy.
Not very complicated. Yeah. But the game I was most excited to play was a game that I've played before. It was the Rick and Morty Virtual Rick Alley. So it's the puzzle game.
Yeah.
And it, in my opinion, I mean, in my short experience with VR games, it's like the perfect VR game for me. Like it's a great way. VR is a great way to do puzzle games. Just moving from spot to spot, interacting with items, fitting this here, flipping the switches.
Especially in a world that's one of your favorites. And the whole thing's hilarious from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And the puzzles aren't that bad. Like they're clever puzzles.
Yeah. Yeah. They're pretty good puzzles. I mean, the bad part of a puzzle game is once you solve it, then it's kind of done. You can't really go back to it unless it's like years later.
I'm sure you're going to get to these eventually, but the one they did before that one was called Accounting. I think you played it a little bit.
Yeah. I played a little bit of that one.
Okay. So those puzzles are like more abstracted. Like, some of them you just kind of like you stumble onto what you're supposed to do, but it's hilarious too. And then, the newest one I don't own, which is Trover Saves the Universe.
Yeah.
So I guess you're going to be playing that one, right? Next time you have it, probably?
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the... because there's two accounting games, right? There's a free one and then the paid one.
Yeah, Accounting Plus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'll play all those games because I just think puzzle games are so great in VR. And I don't know if they have it in the Quest store. They might.
You got to hit up Ray for his account info.
Oh, yeah. He has Trover Saves the Universe.
And he has probably every other
VR
game.
Yeah, he's got a lot of VR games.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is kind of weird, man. It's kind of weird to be fully wireless with this thing, to just like even unplug it from the computer and just use the in-game stuff. Because there's a lot of demos and there's a lot of free stuff.
The onboard stuff.
Yeah, the onboard built-in stuff. Like, I was just laying in my bed, like getting ready to go to sleep and just like...
Whacking furiously.
Just like wandering around doing stuff in VR, man. It's just such a weird...
And is it a mind fuck when you do the see-through or pass-through?
It kind of is. The cameras aren't that great, so...
They don't need to be.
It's kind of like a black and white, and it's a little blurry, but it is kind of weird to see be able to see basically through the VR set.
And did your girlfriend try it?
No. Okay. No, I haven't. I was going to bring it over when I was at her place, but then, you know, her computer wouldn't be strong enough to run it, so we'd only be able to do the onboard thing. So next time she's over at my place, I'll give her the full experience.
Right, so that's what I'm trying to, like, get to. Is it truly wireless if the experience suffers so much when you're going wireless?
It's not that it suffers. It's that you have to pay for it.
What do you mean?
Because you have to buy to buy the game in the Quest store.
Okay.
And they're not cheap, man. They're not cheap.
What'd you think of the Quest store besides the payment or the prices?
I got a big problem with it that there's no place, maybe I'm wrong here, but I looked all around. There's no place that you can go that just says, here's all the apps you have installed.
Like,
it's really
like
weird.
You should be able to see what's on board, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you can go into search and you can find like, oh, this one, you know, this one is in the store, but you already have it installed. Or you can see like, oh,
maybe because you don't have shit installed though.
No, I got like a couple of things, like at least five things.
But those are the things that come from the, those are the things that come from installed already. No?
No, I installed some stuff.
Oh,
afterwards,
okay. Got you.
Too.
Some free stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and like I guess you can watch sports games on this, which is pretty cool too. I installed the MLB thing, but of course you gotta have paid for MLB.tv, and that shit's kind of a ripoff. But that would be great to be able to watch sports in VR.
Yeah, you should do it just so we could talk about it. Dude. Like, what's the experience like? Like, I'm sure it's not amazing yet because people would be talking about it, but mm-hmm. Are you sitting in the stands? Can you sit anywhere? And
I'd imagine they would. I don't know if you could watch live games either. What they gave you access to in the app was very, very limited. Huh. Like basically just looking up players and stats. Like you don't get to watch.
Oh, lame.
Yeah.
So, can't watch even a pre-recorded game.
I didn't see it. Yeah.
Wow.
So that I thought that was pretty
fuck lame. Right off MLB.com or whatever you are.
Yeah. But yeah, dude, I'm pretty impressed with this, and the wireless capabilities are pretty good. I'm glad we got this. I have been seeing like on my Google News feed like things that pop up that say like Oculus Quest 2 coming out soon, and you know here's the leaked specs.
Oh so, yeah, as soon as we bought it, the
as
same
soon
week,
as we
right?
get it, yeah, yeah there's yeah, yeah. Another.
Isn't
version.
It always the way?
Yep.
Dwight Dynamite was talking about something about. I don't know. Click it. I think that you can maybe have the computer running or doing the work and you play through Wi-Fi. I guess it's some third party.
Oh, yeah. I bet app. There is. Yeah, yeah. That sounds like something somebody would have done. Let's see, how to play Oculus Quest wireless on PC over Wi-Fi.
Crazy.
Yeah, that would be cool, man.
You need super strong Wi-Fi, though. Like, it's
like
no
5 gigahertz. Yeah.
Yeah, it's no way that it's going to compare to. A USB-C cable, though, right?
It seems like it would suffer because, you know, it's just like using Steam Play or, you know, remote whatever, Steam Remote Play where, you know, you play over Wi-Fi, but you're running it from that.
This would be the fucking shit
yeah.
if we set it up, right? And it works.
Yeah, I'll have to give that a shot.
What's good about this is, like, my router's 5 feet away from my gaming area. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be pretty cool. Thanks for the link, man. If I have time to set this up, I am definitely going to do this because this seems like it solves all the problems we're talking about.
Yeah, it would be nice if I could move into a different area to play this thing.
So would you say 2 thumbs up?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it, man.
Would
for
you
the
say
price point.
Way up?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to give it to you this week, and you can play around with it and give your opinion on it because you've done more VR than me, and you'll be able to compare it to some other stuff. But we'll keep passing it back and forth, and it'll be it's nice to have access to all those VR games.
For sure. It's tricky because everybody that I know that has VR
mm-hmm.
is not a like VR head. You know, like, I don't know a VR head, like a fucking crazy Intuit VR person that all they do is play VR.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't dislike it either. They like it a lot. But it's almost another thing other than PC gaming right now for some reason. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, at least for me, the time allotted was almost like another thing. It was, do you know what I mean? It's almost like bonus time. I wouldn't ever go like, I really feel like playing VR right now. It'd be more like a, well, shit, I don't have anything to do right now. I'll try VR. Do you see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird, but like, I don't know. There's no hardcore VR players, except for JP Diddy. That motherfucker, he plays Beat Saber before every gaming session just to like warm up his.
Just for a warm up.
Yeah, just for a warm up.
That will get you warmed up.
Expert Plus.
Oh, man.
Dude, I might just fucking do this just for the calorie burning, man.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of.
Well, I saw in the store they had some like VR fit thing. I don't know if it was a game or a video or some sort of application, but they've got fitness stuff in there. I don't know how fun it is.
Now, when you say expensive, what were you looking at? Like what title? Let's go there. Let's go to the website.
Okay. So like the Quest store, I think we can access that here.
Yeah.
So Quest Shop, Oculus Quest store, VR games, apps, and more. Maybe it's not more expensive than Steam. Okay, so yeah, like everything seemed to be around $20 to $40, like $20 to $35.
Right.
Beat Saber's $30, Super Hot's $25, Vader Immortal Episode 2 is $10, so they charge you per episode there.
It's interesting, man. Like, what do you pay to go to the movie? And then, are you going to get 2 hours of entertainment? Probably. Yeah. Face your fears too, Bobby? No? Not about that life?
Let's see what the rating is. Trevor Saves the Universe, $30. Face Your Fears 2.
Let's watch the trailer.
3.5 stars. I don't know if they have a trailer here.
What? They had the video symbol. Bastards.
No, it's a zoom in. You know, and it's not even like the animated stuff wouldn't really be that scary. What I think freaked me out so much was the YouTube videos where it looks like real life, dude. Like it looks like a person standing right there.
So,
I mean,
you were on VR and YouTube. How much content is there out?
There's a lot of content, actually.
And you can move around in the space, or you're just looking around?
No, stationary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can just look around. There's a lot of, like, National Geographic stuff, you know, underwater, a lot of national park tours, things like that.
Yeah.
There was a really cool video I watched about the thinnest building ever built. It's this giant skyscraper they built in New York, and it's super thin. Hmm. And it looks out over Central Park, and units are like, you know, like, I think they said $27 million, like something ridiculous. Jeez.
And you could take a virtual tour?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was really cool, man. Like, they show you the inside and the layout of every single room. This would be a great thing, like, if you're looking to buy a house somewhere.
Oh, they have that already. Yeah. Virtual tours.
Yeah. What was really weird about that, not to get too off topic, but they had this machine at the top of this building that when the building sways, the machine pushed it back the other way.
Oh, yeah.
Really weird.
Dude, it's not the tallest building in the world anymore because there's that big one in Dubai. But the one before that was in like Taipei, I think, or some Asian country.
Yeah.
And it's like a really weird looking
Dubai
one.
Or something?
No, the one before Dubai.
Okay.
It's one... Taiwan or something. Anyway, really weird looking. And it has a giant, super heavy pendulum hanging from the top of the ceiling. And it's a counterweight to exactly what you were talking about, to the swaying of the thing.
Yeah.
But it weighs tons, dude. And it's suspended from the very, very tippity top.
That architecture is so weird.
Yeah.
This is the building right here. It's got this weird kind of tapered look at the top of it. But, yeah, the inside is ridiculous, dude. It looks like something out of like one of those movies where there's like, you know, this disproportionate wealth where people are super ridiculous rich or something, you know, Elysium.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy though.
That it, dude. They probably had to build special tools. Like that was a specialized crane. For sure. That was a one-of-a-kind crane just for that building.
Yeah. And the view is ridiculous. The view is literally looks out over the length of Central Park. Like, you look out and it's just boof.
That's what it was built for, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I really want to check out that fucking tower now. Never mind. Mm-hmm. Taipei 101. There you go.
Okay. Taipei 101. Yeah. You know, someone recycled... saying Gorn would be a good game to play. Nick also recommended that... that game to me. And I didn't get a chance to play it this week, but I do. That's definitely up there on my list of games to play because that's the one everyone seems to recommend.
So there it is. Maybe if you put Pendulum, it'll show the... So anyway, it looks like a bunch of smaller boxes stacked on top of each other. Yeah, anyway, they have a counter sway thing on the top of it that seems like if I built the tallest building in the world, would I want to hang a... Yeah, that thing. So that thing sways counter to the swaying of the wind.
Wow.
Fucking crazy.
That's not what I was... That's like an orb.
How'd you guys get that shit up there, man? Like, what the fuck? Carried up the stairs? I don't understand. The other day, I was at the top of one of my buildings, which is only 14 stories. And it was, you know, we still have scaffolding up at that time. Mm-hmm. And, dude, it... The scaffolding is not moving because it's static, but the buildings are meant to sway, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at the difference between the building and the scaffolding, and the building is just swaying like fucking crazy. And I, the superintendent, the boss of the building, I was like, that's a scaffolding movie, right? He's like, no, that's us moving, dude. I could not believe it was like 4 inches in each way, wow, back and forth.
Should see it during an earthquake.
Yeah. It's insane, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, like, I really feel earthquakes now that I'm living in a high-rise.
Are you even sure there are earthquakes sometimes? Because isn't there a lot of shaking going on anyway?
No, it's definitely earthquakes. But I would never notice them before if I was living on, like, you know, the first story of a place. Like, you'd sleep right through it. Now it, like, practically throws me out of bed.
Gotcha.
All right. So yeah, VR is awesome. Just be aware, like I was telling you, make sure that you this box like pulls up like that. So don't just grab it from the sides. Make sure you get it from the bottom there.
A couple of recommendations just on stuff. Well, I guess we'll talk next week because I'm going to have it for a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a little sticky when I give it back to you.
Gross.
Dude, there's no way I have time to beat off in my fucking living room. It's not going to happen. There's no way.
Yeah, I don't know if they would allow any porn apps in the Quest store.
No, you don't need the app. You go to the big screen app that you just showed me. You go to a web browser, and then there's...
And that works in VR?
There's VR porn.
So you go to like a VR porn website and
YouTube has, I mean, Pornhub has it.
Huh. Okay.
I'll be reviewing that next week.
We'll hear all about it next week. But this week.
I actually, you know, I bought a game and it's been a while, dude. It's been probably 6 weeks or 7 weeks since I bought a game. Just because, you know, Xbox Game Pass has been delivering lately.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just Game Pass now. They rebranded it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Game Pass has been delivering, and between that and playing Risk of Rain and just older games with people, I just haven't felt that. There's nothing that I was like, oh, I need that.
Mm-hmm.
Mortal Kombat 11 has not gone on sale for a very long time. If it did go on sale on the Steam sale, it wasn't for very much. Right after the Steam sale, it went on a like 24-hour sale or whatever for basically half price. So it was $19.99, and then the aftermath update was $20. So for $44 or something, you could get it all. It was one of these things where like it was like an impulse buy on my phone, and I installed it remotely. Mm-hmm. By the way, you guys can do that. And I was like, why'd I do that? There's no way I'm going to play at all. Like, why did I buy the DLC? There was no need for me to buy the DLC. Why didn't I just play it? But anyway, I was glad that I fucking... It's such a good game, man. Let me bring up my notes here. But with the Aftermath Edition, you get more story, which is actually a selling point in these games. And you get, like, RoboCop, Terminator, the Joker, Spawn... All these like weird characters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. So it's from NetherRealm Studios. It's sitting at 91% on Steam. To express to you how rare that is for these ported games to do well on on PC is rare. Go look up any Street Fighter, and good luck if you find the one over 60%. They're just like dog shit. The ports are all dog shit. I really do believe that PC was a focus when they made this game. They probably had a whole department or a whole group that was dedicated to the PC port because it works great. Like, I loaded it up. It's like we detected mm-hmm. what graphics card you have. We already have presets for the best settings for that. Do you want to upload those? Sure. Okay, upload those.
Damn.
The UI, the whole user experience was fantastic. There's tons and tons and tons of content. There's like 4 different fighting modes, 4 different offline modes. Every character has pages of information, and it's all, none of it's convoluted. Like, I wonder how I do this. Somehow your fingers just figure out how to do it. It's all intuitive, and it's great. You can, if you just want to fight real quick, 2 quick buttons pushes, and you're in the tournament, or you're in a solo mode, or you're in practice mode. It's just, it all just works. It all looks great, and I'm a big fan of the UI. On top of that,
they've been releasing these games on PC for a while now, right?
Yeah, but I feel like, well, as soon as NetherRealm Studios took over the franchise, mm-hmm. which is, I think they started with Mortal Kombat 10. It could have been Injustice. I feel like it's Injustice 1. They got the franchise, and then, I don't know, they go to PC. They've been doing everything right. They're almost changing the game when it comes to fighting games. Writing a fucking story into a fighting game is super hard.
Yeah. Well, I played one of these. I think I played 9. And yeah, the story was pretty bad.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that the story is great. Mm-hmm. But I am saying that, like, between the acting, the action sequences and the CGI, and the B-movie corniness, it all just kind of works, and I'm mm-hmm. crazy entertained. Like, I stayed up a whole hour after my bedtime last night playing this, and I could not put it down, and that's 2 nights in a row that I did that. Like, it's been a while. It's been a while since something
Playing through the campaign?
Playing through the campaign, yeah. Which is really more like playing through the movie, is what I would say, because there's more watching than fighting, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking maybe 2 fight sequences, and then you maybe 4 or 5 minutes of like CGI, like movie.
That's a lot of cutscenes.
It's a lot, but I mean, that's what you're playing it for.
That's what you're playing the campaign for.
That's what you're playing the campaign for. You could straight up go.
Yeah, there's other modes if you want.
Tons and tons of other modes.
Just fighting.
Yeah, you could just go online and start playing if you wanted to. The other thing that like brought me to this game was, I saw an interview with the like lead developer, which is the same lead developer that was at MK1. And he's talking about 30 years. Like, they're hitting with these rapid-fire questions. And he has 30 years of knowledge, and he's going, like, through this and that and that. Like, Shang Tsung, mm-hmm. the reason his power was transforming into the other characters was that the chip in the arcade box didn't have enough memory for a fifth character or whatever it was. I brought it up the other day. And I got to thinking, like, I've been playing these games. I mean, not like Street Fighter, but I've been playing these games for 30 years. Like, it should have a little respect, more respect than I think it gets. And this is its best game ever. And for sure, this is the pinnacle of the series. And for sure, it's also, for sure, the pinnacle of its PC's presence, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, it just works really well. Let's see. I had a question for you, Bobby. When you first run this game, it says, run Mortal Kombat 11 or run DX12? What do I pick there and why? Do you know?
DX12 would be better, because I assume the other option is probably DX11. And you're running Windows 10, right?
Yeah.
Probably a newer version.
It said requires Windows 10.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be able to run DX12. Sometimes when I do that with games, like I get some crashes or it's a little more buggy, but yeah, it's just going to make it look better.
Okay. in my experience, this for this game, it suffered a little bit quality wise. Not it didn't. It looked better, but it was playing worse.
Is there ultra widescreen support for this?
Maybe. Yeah, that was. Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, it just kind of knew what I had and set everything up for me. It was pretty great. Let's see. Yeah, just fucking a super fun game. Grab me. I'm actually thinking about playing online and trying to get kind of good at this.
Oh, man. The last time I played a Mortal Kombat game, I want to say it was 9. And I would play online sometimes with Zaya, friend of ours. And, of course, he would kick my ass every single time. But yeah. I think the problem was I was playing this on my TV, and I think there was some input lag, like a connection problem.
No, online is bad.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't imagine playing like just randos online. I would just get destroyed. I'm like a Street Fighter guy, at least, you know, I used to be when I was younger, and that's a completely different kind of feel to the game than this. This is very, like, I kept trying to like come in with these like jumping attacks, and I would always get rocked, and that's not really a great strategy in Mortal Kombat. It's a little more like clunky is a bad word. I don't want to use the word clunky.
It does feel clunky compared to other fighting games.
The controls are a little more deliberate, you know?
Methodic,
like a special move in Mortal Kombat is like back, right, back, down or something. And then in Street Fighter, you have like the arcs and you know, a lot of smooth motions where you have like the down, right movements. So, you know, it was really difficult for me to go from Street Fighter to Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, it's a completely different animal. And then for Mortal Kombat 11, they've changed it even more, like how the power meters work and all of that. I was really surprised how big the characters are on the screen. It's almost like there's, you know, those big G.I. Joes, they're like 14 inches. It's like you're smashing two of those together. They're huge, dude. If you look at some gameplay, you can see that, like, the power meters are even minimalized as much as possible to give as much room to the players. You can't even see it on the screen right now. Ronda Rousey does one of the voices, but can't stress enough. It's a visual feast, man. That's what it is, and it's fun. Yeah,
well, it's good that they got it running well on PC with, I'm assuming, 60 frame support and, you know, not a lot of input lag, because that in a fighting game, stuff like that's so important.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about frames. So I was watching like a tier breakdown. He's like, Sonic Fox is like a really famous.
Oh yeah, yeah, I've seen him.
They, by the way, you've seen they.
Is Sonic Fox is more than one person.
No, he's non-binary.
Okay.
So what was I saying? Oh, so he was talking about like, oh, this guy's punish is 7 frames, which is okay. But if it was 6 frames, he'd be viable. So he's literally talking about one frame of a 60 frame move making the difference between this guy being viable and not being viable. You know what I mean?
It's a crazy amount of balance you got to
figure out. It's insane, man. It's insane.
I don't know, man. I'm so far off of being like anywhere near competition level with fighting games. Like, I could never compete at all with a game like this. So far behind, years behind. It would take me 15 years just to get back up there.
Well, let me put to float this out there. It's not a hardcore gamer's game. I think the hardcore, like, pro players, they kind of, like, laugh at the mechanics. It's almost like, it's a game built for fun, not for, like, technical awesomeness.
Okay.
Like Dragon Ball FighterZ. Sure, there's tournaments, and yeah, there's the best of the best, but there's just flat-out broken characters. And it just, that's how it is. Yeah. By the way, MPLOV just hooked a bunch of people up with he gave us. We got to make sure we use that. Or do you have to use it?
No. He gifted 2 subs.
Oh, God.
One went to Rizik Gaming and the other went to Chosen.
And I wanted to say this because congratulations, MPLOV. He has a new baby girl as of this morning.
Oh, yeah, you posted a picture in Discord.
He did.
Wow. So how, when did you have your baby? 3 months ago?
6 months ago.
6 months ago. Wow.
Yeah.
Time flies, man. This corona thing, this quarantine has just made me lose all track of time.
Yeah. And it's weird, man, because he's my nephew and he's like, I have no idea how old he is. I'm going to go ahead and guess he's 10 years older, less or younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having a baby at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
It's probably more
than
10
years. Good to growing up at the same time. They'll be the same age.
Yeah.
We also had a subscription from Recycled, 24 months, 2 years.
Thanks, homie.
Damn, 2 whole years. We've been streaming that long? I guess we have, haven't we?
I guess that's the only way that that number makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Oh, ooh, he says he's 28.
You definitely don't look that, dude. You look like at least 40, man. Dude, all my life, everybody's always said, you don't look your age.
Yeah,
not anymore.
That stopped at a that's certain
already
point.
Changed.
Yeah.
No, I, guys I like, what are you, 42? And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. If you're ever like one of those people that people are always like, oh, really? You're that young or you're that old? And like, you look younger. Like, that'll eventually catch up with you.
Yeah. You're going to hit a wall, man.
Yeah.
For sure. What else did I play?
Away. So you played, well, you played a lot of things. I
played a lot of little things, man, for a little bit of time. But not really. I played a lot of Mortal Kombat 11 and I played a lot of Grounded. But Blightbound, which is a Runimo Games game, they're makers of Awesome Knots.
Mm-hmm. Runimo?
Yeah, Runimo. Sure. I was super amped up when we first talked about this because it's a side scroll and beat 'em up a la, you know, Streets of Rage, Final Fight.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a roguelike and it's in a fantasy setting and it looks great. Like the art is fantastic and it looks exactly like what you see in the videos. But it's in early access and it definitely shows. There were some game breaking bugs for our multiplayer group, which consisted of me, JP Diddy, and Flopsy. Thanks to JP Diddy for buying us a broken game. But yeah, he bought a 3-pack that came with the sale.
This was not on the Game Pass.
This was not on the Game Pass.
Game Pass doesn't do early access, so I guess it wouldn't be.
It does, actually.
Oh, you can get early access games on
that? Yeah, more on that later.
All right.
We couldn't see each other. You'd kill something, it wouldn't really die, that kind of stuff. But it is what it says it is. Like, it's a side-scrolling beat-em-up, roguelike, all that stuff. Looks fantastic. It has some really nice ideas. And, you know, once this game gets fleshed out in the netcode, there's a lot of potential here. It's sitting at a 70% right now, but I think that's because of the problems that I... For it to be at a 70% despite game-breaking bugs... That's pretty fucking good.
I think.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It could have got trounced, but it didn't. It's $17.99. It's on sale right now. So support, tank, and DPS are you have to play a role. The DPS cannot tank, and the support definitely can't tank. And the DPS is doing the most damage, and the support has to do his job or none of it works. You know what I mean? Like, you're hard-pressed into your roles. That said, you can't pick your role. You can't be like, I'm going to be the DPS, you're going to be a tank. When you go into the game, you're just randomly assigned one. You can set a favorite and be like, I like the support more, most. It's almost like when you're playing those 4v1 games and you put like, I want to be Jason. But it's only a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, it's going to give you what it works out. At the end of a level, you get loot for all the classes. So you go into your inventory and you're looting for all the different classes. You know what I mean? But in your roster, they're looting for their roster. Does it make sense?
Not really.
Okay. So I go in with my wizard.
Okay.
I get loot for my wizard. I get loot for my warrior and I get loot for my, DPS. That I'm not playing.
Okay.
Even they're in my roster.
I see.
And I just equip them real quick, sell it, whatever else. And so I thought that was really cool because since it's forcing you to play different classes, it's pretty awesome that it also allows you to equip them when you're mm-hmm. not playing them.
Yeah, so you can get like a really good item for a tank, and then maybe next round you're playing as a tank, exactly. So it works out.
Exactly.
So, like, what do you take with you from game to game? Like, it's a roguelike. You make it as far as you can. You eventually die, and then, like, do you have, like, points that you get to spend?
No, or? I believe you get to keep all your gear. It's more like Diablo in that way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you're trying to level up your account so that you are a more valuable player in all aspects.
Mm-hmm.
I unlocked another wizard, a different type of wizard, a different kind of support.
Yeah, we're watching someone stream on the page here, and it looked like there was quite a few characters on the left side that you can choose from.
Yeah, you can unlock, but they're all within. There's a bunch of support characters, I guess. There's a bunch of support tanks. There's a bunch of.
Okay, so there's like different classes. Is there like melee and ranged?
I haven't seen any range. Well, the wizard is ranged. Mm-hmm. But the melee that we saw, we played very little. Like, once the game broke a few times in a row, we were like, we got to hang this up until it's good to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Everything that you're saying sounds really cool, man. Like, I actually want to check this game out. And I'm looking through the reviews here, and all the negative ones are all technical problems. And even the positive ones say, like, yeah, dude, there's some issues here. Just random things like game going on out of sync, disconnecting, problems with the controller. So hopefully they get that cleared up, man, because this sounds like a good game.
It is a good game. It's just hidden under some technical issues right now. So I'm glad that I own it. I will see you in 6 months, buddy.
So that game's $20 on sale for $17.99, or you get the three pack for $50 or $44.99 on sale.
And that's what JP bought. And he's handed out games like candy.
Dang.
Right after that, he went to bed, and Chad was like, let's play something co-op. I was like, I got to get back to Mortal Kombat 11, man. He's like, no, let's play some co-op. I was like, all right. He goes, what did I see? And he said, oh, Epic Games has 20XX for free.
For free.
Yeah.
Yep. Picked it up, as well as two other free games. But this was definitely the one that I was excited about.
And you should be. It's a fun game, man.
Yeah. Well, did you play a lot of Mega Man back in the day?
Not a ton.
Oh, man, I loved Mega Man.
But you're going to love this
Nintendo
game.
Nintendo and Super Nintendo.
So what they did was they took a Mega Man, the recipe of the jumping and the shooting and all that stuff, the mm-hmm. charge shot, all of that stuff, and they put it into a rogue and put roguelikeness in there. Pretty heavily, actually. It's kind of the whole concept of the game. So, but in a way, man, I feel like I talked about this last week when I think it was Ray, was telling somebody, oh, what a roguelike is. He's like, that's just a Nintendo game. Like, you just have to keep trying over and over. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of that. You know, you get to select your boss, which boss you want to go after. Mm-hmm. Very Mega Man, right?
Yeah.
That boss provides you with an ability. Very Mega Man, yep, right?
It's like Mega Man.
But let's mix it up now. You don't have to take the ability. There's two other things you could take instead. You could take currency for other kind of upgrades, or you could take a health upgrade or an energy upgrade.
Okay.
Right? Or you could take the ability. Like, yeah. There's all of that.
But the cool thing about Mega Man was, like, you would challenge one boss first, and he'd be like Woodman, and then you get his ability, and that ability that you got from
him was really good against another.
Yeah, you used to like take out another boss, so you'd have to figure out that like overall puzzle.
Yeah, and there is definitely that going on, but since we only played it for like 2 hours, we were kind of going after the boss. After you kill a boss, you can't attack any of them. There's three that you can go. It gives you a random three. And we would just go with the ones we're familiar with. We're like, oh, yeah, that guy was easy. Let's go with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
As you go, they get harder and harder, though. They're not static like they were in Mega Man. So, because you're getting more powerful.
But the rewards, I assume, get better as they get harder?
No. You're stronger. So they should.
Oh, okay. So it scales to your level. So, like, if you fight this guy early on, he's going to be weaker.
Hopefully.
If you fight the same guy later on, he's going to be stronger just because you're a higher level?
Yes.
Okay.
Not a higher level. You have more abilities, more It's a roguelike. Mm-hmm. So you're grabbing items.
You're just stronger.
You're changing. You're getting better. Hopefully, like a lot of roguelikes, like Risk of Rain, you're trying to stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
The game's getting harder. Through luck and skill, you're trying to get ahead of the curve. Some of that, there's a little bit of strategy in it because there's shops. So you grab the currency, you go to the shop, you upgrade certain things, mm-hmm. whatever's in the shop. Or you can heal yourself in the shop. And health is a, it's almost like a currency in this game. Like, because there's very little health throughout the game. So, and it's perpetual. If you pass the level, you still have, and you barely kill the boss, you still have one hit point in the next level.
Interesting.
Yeah. Super fun though, dude. Like leaning forward, little kid button smashing. Like it definitely there was some of that.
Pretty
for
intense.
Sure. It was pretty intense.
I'll check this out. I was thinking about playing this this coming week. I may check it out because man, I played so much Mega Man.
Really excited. Check my notes to make sure I didn't miss anything on this one.
So that's still for free on the Epic Game Store. Definitely pick that up. Or it's $15 on Steam.
Yeah, I would say it's worth $15. I'm not saying do that. I'm saying go get it free. But it would have been worth $15 for sure. Especially, and then you have the co-op, which flawless.
Yeah, I didn't even know about that.
It works perfectly.
Great.
You can play as the same character, or you can play as one is a sword guy, which is I played the sword guy the whole time, and he played the shooty guy, and we had a good time.
Does it seem easier as co-op? Because sometimes in these roguelike co-ops, like more characters can mean more chaos.
I feel like, I mean, I don't know because I never played non-co-op, but I feel like it was the same map.
Okay.
I feel like it would have been hard to fucking put more bad guys in these. I do feel like we had an advantage because we had a ranged and a melee. There were some bosses that I could just fucking destroy. Like, we just walked right through them because I could sneak up on them. There was other bosses that I couldn't even touch because they were, like, stay off of me kind of bosses, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was definitely an advantage. And finally, I played probably the biggest release this week that I know of, Grounded, which is an early access game on Game Pass. So I didn't know they did this. And we played the entire amount of content that there was for this game already. We got to the end of they're like, you activated the, I want to say, you activated the MacGuffin. This is the end of the early access. Congratulations. And
okay.
So we played it probably 3 hours straight. Me, JP and Chad. And, so it's a, we've talked about this a lot. It's kind of like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. You're in the backyard.
Yeah, you're shrunk down kids in the backyard.
Really small. Where like an ant is about the size of a really big dog, I would say. And there's science-y equipment laying around. So, you know, your professor or whatever shrunk you down. You really don't know. It's all a big mystery. The graphics are fucking fantastic. The setting, the graphics, the ambiance carry the game so much that you don't really look at the bugs. There was bugs. We were dropping from games. The entire game crashed several times. We got to a point where we were killed by horrendous, scary spiders. These are the scariest spiders, Bobby, in any game.
I've heard about them, man.
Since maybe like Resident Evil 1 when you fight the giant spider. Super scary. And this is why. In games, by rule, giant spiders are giant. You're normal sized and you have a giant spider, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most games. You have a sword, whatever. They move slow because they're giant. These are tiny spiders, regular house spiders. But yours smaller than them. They move like house spiders, dude. They're running through the grass like the grass is moving like fucking T-Rex or
the Raptors.
Oh no, Lost. Remember the smoke would go through the.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You see the fucking the grass shaking and they come through and they. Oh man, they are scary and they're quick and they're deadly. And
is there a day night cycle on this?
There is a day night cycle.
Okay.
And at night it gets way worse, man.
I bet.
spiders and their eyes turn red and they screech. And it's all bad.
So is this,
and they knock down all your work because we figured out.
Because what are you doing? You're building a fort, right?
It's a crafting survival.
Yeah,
game.
Survival. Game.
Yeah, and
but there's objectives
and a story. Yeah. So which is really cool, and it's cool that it's co-op. You know, up to four players. I'm not one for crafting survivals. We've talked about this a lot, but just the setting alone and being with your buddies was super rewarding. Like, so as far as like building shit, like making the shelter, advancing our technology, I'm the worst. Like, I'm so bad at any of this stuff. Chad and JP, they're figuring everything out. JP's in the middle of building a straw mansion. And, you know, all I know is combat. So I'm going out and I'm trying to hunt as much as possible. But while I'm hunting, I'll just watch fucking JP walk by with five blades of grass on his shoulder, walking towards the thing. And it just looks awesome. Everything makes sense and looks cool. Ladybugs, which is the alpha creature during the day. Like, ladybugs fuck everything up. That's what size we're talking about. Like, ladybugs are huge. They're like the size of cows, I would say. And they get in fights all the time. And they killed some warrior ants for us. Well, not for us, but I looted the aftermath. And I got all these warrior ant parts I wasn't supposed to have. And then I had fucking warrior ant fucking armor. It looked awesome. You play as these little kids, and they're saying little kid stuff back and forth to each other. It was really fun, really rewarding, satisfying. Can't wait till this is a fully fleshed out game.
Yeah. Well, do they know when that'll be? Do they have an official release date, like a 1.0?
I do not know. No. It seems like... It seems like they at the level that they're doing this game, there can't be that much content. There's just so much going on, you know. There's dew drops coming down. You got to go get water, and there's mites, and there's gnats, and there's. It's almost like you're in the Africa savannah, but it's in there. There's just a lot of stuff going on, and we played for 2 or 3 hours or whatever it was. I can't imagine that there's going to be 20 more hours. I can only imagine there's 3 more hours.
Yeah, or they'll figure out a way to recycle the content.
Yeah.
Like, create different objectives, but with all the same assets or something.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying. But still, I also see what you're saying in that the presentation of this game is just stellar. Looks great.
Yep. I would say I wasn't building shit because I couldn't figure it out. It's actually all really intuitive. That's just not what I was doing. I wanted to kill stuff. I convinced Chad that we could take down a ladybug. And he's like, I don't know, man. And I was like, we can do it, man. So he threw, it might have been JP, I might be conflating them. But he threw his spear to try to get that initial hit, it just bounced off the armor of the shell. And I was like, oh, fuck, we're in trouble here. And yeah, we got murdered by a ladybug.
Murdered by a ladybug.
Yep.
You wouldn't think they'd be so dangerous.
They're super dangerous, man. I don't even know if the size is to scale, really. Like, a ladybug is about the size of an ant, right? Like, maybe twice the size?
What kind of ant are you talking about? Like a fire ant?
No, we're talking about, like, just regular...
Like, a regular ant, super small. Real tiny.
So...
Ladybug is way bigger than that.
We're talking, like, these ladybugs are, like, 5 times the size of an ant,
I would say. Yeah, I'd say so. Okay. Seems about right.
That's what's going on. Until the fucking warriors come out.
Oh, man. Do any other humans come out?
No.
Oh, okay. Come stomping around the yard.
And I don't want to give the story away, because it's on Game Pass. You guys are all going to play it.
I've been hearing a lot of good things. Now, the Steam page here, okay, very positive. 2,900 reviews.
Again, this is despite tons of bugs. Tons. Yeah. And I don't mean insects.
Yeah. that's cool, man. I'm glad this game's doing well.
Yeah. It's beautiful, dude. It's beautiful.
That's a great setting. I mean, can't go wrong.
You know what it reminds me of? Adventureland? Or what was that? Something land. Wonderland? It was like this first-person Metroidvania that you play as toys. No. Fuck. Whatever.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It's the only thing that the graphics reminded me of. Anyways.
You know, that's everything we played this week, I guess.
Yeah, which was a lot.
Yeah, well, not for me, dude. I had such a busy week. It was mainly just all VR for me.
You had a lot to say about a little bit of time, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
When are you off the hook?
Extended it another week, so I've got one more week of it. And then...
Which is next week or the week after next?
Next week. And then I got maybe 1 week off, and then I go back to work, and classes start. I'm taking two classes.
No, that's bullshit, man.
Yeah.
No, take 2 weeks off. Call me in the morning.
No, dude. I got to keep it moving. Let's move to On the Radar. We got quite a few games we want to talk about here. So games that have come to our attention. A lot of recommendations in the Discord this week. Thanks for helping out, guys. We always appreciate it. The first one is called Hellpoint. And this looks like Remnant from the Ashes, but in a Doom setting. So it's kind of a sci-fi, horror, demon, hell landscape. But it is an action RPG that's kind of a Souls-like. And I like the setting. It looks good, but I don't know, man. Like, does the gameplay hold up? I feel like with everything you've been saying about Remnant, it's kind of hard to measure up to that game at this point.
You know, it's tough to... I clicked on the stream because the stream was available when I went to the Steam page. Mm-hmm. And I might have bounced back to it 2-3 times. And every time I went back to it, the guy was just running around looking for something. I never saw any action. He was just lost. Mm-hmm. And that's no fault of the game at all. But that's what I saw of it. And so that's kind of my opinion of it right now. Like, yeah, you get lost. You get lost and you have a big-ass sword. The reviews aren't crazy good.
Well, there's not a lot of them. 450, 71%. So, yeah, not that great. The game is $35, too.
And it keeps jumping up on my feed. Like, it's all over the place, I feel like.
I feel like it knows you played a lot of Remnant, so yeah. It's trying to pitch this to you. But hey, honestly, the setting is the thing that intrigues me the most about this, but these usually aren't my type of games.
And the graphics, I don't know. I'm not a fan of what it looks like either.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a recommendation coming from us.
Yeah.
All right, this next game, if I can bring it up here, is not necessarily a game. This is called Kovac 2.0. This is a FPS trainer. I guess there was another one called just Kovac. This is the new version of it. So, trusted by thousands of players, including current and former pros, Kovac 2.0 is the definitive FPS training software with customizable playlists, over 4,000 scenarios, guided training, performance analysis, realistic physics, and much more. I was reading a little bit about this game. I've seen stuff like this on the web where you can, it's like an accuracy trainer. I saw someone playing it one time on a stream. Heroes of the Storm player was using it just to make you more accurate with your clicks. But this actually trains you to do things like track targets, control spread. You can load up different weapons that they've tried to match to like different weapons in other games. So, you know, like a gun from Counter-Strike, they try to match the recoil and spread of that with another weapon here so you can really get used to it. And they've got all these different scenarios. So basically, yeah, it just trains you to get better at first-person shooters.
How much is this, Bob?
This is $10.
It's reasonable.
Yeah. That was on sale back in June for $5.
It looks like you're getting what they say.
Yeah. And I mean, the reviews are pretty positive. Wow, 10,000 reviews, 89%. Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like it delivers. Now, the question is, would you use something like this? Because I don't think I care that much.
I'm just too old.
Yeah.
I think my reaction times and all that, it's deteriorated to a point where I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't have fun online anymore, Bobby. Nick makes fun of me every time we play video. Hey, old man, you can't figure this out? You don't know how to do this? I was like...
But a first-person shooter, I feel like, is the bread and butter of every gamer, especially our age, you know. But I do got to say, I noticed I got a lot worse at first-person shooters when I started playing a lot of MOBAs. I totally know. I got really good at MOBAs and our RTS.
It's a completely different muscle, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's totally different control style. And then I started getting worse at first-person shooters. And, you know, since I've been working so much, there's been times where I've gone a while without actually sitting down on the computer and playing anything. And I've noticed, like, for the first time ever, I've started getting a little bit of that...
fatigue?
No, not fatigue, but, like, dizziness. Not really dizziness, but... you know, what do people get when they get VR? Not motion sickness, but it is kind of like disorienting sometimes when I sit down. And then after like 30 minutes or so, it's like, it's totally gone. I'm back in it. But if I take enough time off from playing first person shooters and I jump back into it, then I notice I get a little bit of that.
Bobby, I've literally never looked at you with concern. This is my concern face.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
You okay, man?
I hope so. Wouldn't that be terrible, dude, if I couldn't play first-person shooters, man? If I go to the doctor and he's like, you'll never play another first-person shooter again. But I used to kind of sneer at people who are like, they try VR and they're like, it makes me sick. And I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
Get exactly. over it, you know? But I have noticed that a little bit. And it's strange, man. It's super weird to like sit down and be like, whoa, okay, what?
Sam was like, I'll be like, you got to see this game. Mm-hmm. This game's awesome. And she'd be like, I can't even watch what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I guess I kind of get it that you can't see it.
But what's weird is it's only with first person shooters. So like there was a while where I didn't, I wasn't able to game very much. And then when
starting with first person shooters.
Maybe. But then I would play, when I would play, I'd play Divinity 2, or I'd play Mechanicus, you know, the turn-based tactical games. And then, like,
if those get you dizzy, we're going to hospital now.
That'd be pretty bad if those were. But then I didn't think about it.
Chess is a little too much for me, guys.
But I didn't think about it, but it had probably been like maybe 2 weeks since I'd actually done like a first-person shooter type game. So, yeah.
Hmm. More on getting old. Mm-hmm. In the UFC right now, like things change all the time about like tactics and stuff. And right now, calf kicks are super, like it's all the rage.
Calf kicks.
Yeah, they kick each other in the calf and it doesn't hurt so much as it basically, if you kick it enough times or you kick it just right, your leg falls asleep and they start falling down. Like your leg just stops working.
Just goes numb.
And I was like, man, does that really work? And then at work, I was carrying this heavy bucket and I hit myself in the calf from behind and my toes went numb immediately. And I was like, hey, dude, my friend that watches UFC and also works with me. I was like, dude, those calf kicks are a real thing. I was like, I hit myself with a bucket and now I can't move my foot. He's like, you're old and you're dying, dude. It has nothing to do with the bucket.
But the calf kicks, they're trying to kick them in the back of the calf.
Yeah, but
not the shin.
No, well, why would you? No, that's hard.
Yeah, I know. But how do you kick someone in the back of their...
Think about how the foot is shaped. It's like a V, right? So you kick, and the back of the
so you're trying to hook them with your foot.
The top of your foot hits the back of their calf.
That's weird.
Dude, I would say it's the number one attack right now, I would say.
Super in 2020 calf kicks, guys.
Calf kicks, yep.
Yep. All right. Next up is Banners of Ruin. It's a card game. So it's a little bit of both. It is a card battler, but also a dungeon crawler and also a roguelike. I feel like everything's a roguelike these days.
There's another game just like this coming up later up in our...
I feel like this type of game is popping up quite a bit. I watched a little bit of someone streaming this game. It seemed all right. You know, they had that like front row, back row thing. And, you know, it looked like a turn-based like Final Fantasy game, but you use cards that come up. I don't know if any game like this is really going to top Grifflins for me. So I don't know. It looks kind of cool, but yeah, I think I'm going to pass on it.
I will say one thing, the hand-drawn art is incredible. It's very, very good.
The art of the cards and even the characters, it kind of reminds me of Elder Scrolls in a way almost. I know they drastically changed that at some point, but not Elder Scrolls, but what was the card game?
I was like, what is he talking about? Oh, yeah. Jeez. Legends of...
Elder Scroll Legends?
Elder Scroll Legends. There you go. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. It's a little more... It's not cartoony, really. It's a little more concise. It's got these anthropomorphic animals like rats.
Probably called animal people.
Animal people.
I'm going to go make a drink.
Okay.
While you do Raji and Ancient Epic.
All right. Maybe leave that door open, dude. It's starting to get hot in here.
Dude, I've been wiping.
Yeah, I'm starting to sweat. Okay. So... Oh, yeah, I can feel it come in as soon as you open the door. This game is in early access. It's $20 on sale for $17.99, but I don't know. It's not quite doing it for me. Next game is Raji, an Ancient Epic. And this game, again, doesn't look like anything that special, but I do like the setting. So Raji, an Ancient Epic, is an action-adventure game set in ancient India. A young girl named Raji has been chosen by the gods to stand against the demonic invasion of the human realm. Her destiny, to rescue her younger brother and face the demon lord, oh boy, Mahabalasura. Nailed it. Game's not out yet. It's coming out in Q3. I don't think I've ever played a game that's set in ancient India. Is there an Assassin's Creed in India? Yeah. But it looks like they are really using that setting. There's like a lot of Hindi gods in there, Hindu gods. So I don't know. That could be cool, but it looks like, you know, your typical action adventure type game. Maybe not. Yeah, there really should be an Assassin's Creed in India. That setting is ripe for an Assassin's Creed. Surprised they haven't done that yet. Q3 2020. Who's the developer on this? Nodding Heads Games. Doesn't sound familiar.
No hyperbole. It's 100 degrees in here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sweltering.
It's really healthy for computers, I've heard.
Yep. Well, actually, you know, computers can run at very high degrees. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, this game looks kind of good, but it's really the setting that I'm drawn to. Just because, have you ever played a game in the ancient Indian setting? Game that takes place in India?
Yeah.
I want to say
Prince
that
of Persia?
Well, that's Persia. It's not really right. India.
Yeah, yeah. It's nowhere near it, actually. But it has that vibe, a little bit of that vibe, I feel.
Yeah.
Like. I'm trying to save myself here.
Kinda.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Fucking the Tales of Columbus, dude. Fucking Tales of. I'm so far off.
I feel like there is a game that I played.
Says Kurt the Ape.
There's.
You're not wrong, dude.
Maybe I'm thinking of like Age of Empires. You could be like one of the cultures out there.
Porconia says the Street Fighter level in India.
Adults.
The fucking elephants. They would not shut up.
All right. Next game. Oh, my God. That cold air feels so good.
I know, man.
This game's been blowing up the charts. Destroy All Humans. I wasn't aware of the original game. Did you ever play the original one, Destroy All Humans?
I did it. I want to... very quickly, can we click on THQ Nordic? I know I click on it. I bring it up every time. I feel like they're on a roll here. They've been doing some stuff. So Desperados 3, yep.
Yeah. Well, they're the publisher.
Oh, okay. They're the publisher. Titan Quest, Darksiders. There's a lot more on this list. Battle Chasers, I really liked. This is the Police. I wanted you to play that.
Yeah, that looks good. There's two of them now.
Yeah.
SpongeBob SquarePants, Battle for Bikini Bottom.
Risen, I thought was really good.
Risen?
Risen.
Alone in the Dark? Yeah, they're a huge company.
Yeah. Let's check on the developer then, if this is the publisher.
All right. Developer Black Forest Games.
This is all they made.
Gianna Sisters, Twisted Dreams.
Are you being facetious?
No, no. I've played a little bit of that. That game's all right. So it's a pretty simple game, but it's not bad. Rogue Stormers, Bubsy, The Woolly Strike Back, the Bubsy remake. Oh, boy. Played a lot of Bubsy on Super Nintendo.
Not a lot here. Let's focus on Destroy All Qubits.
Yeah, let's go back to that.
There's a demo, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's not on their Steam page. That's odd. But
I know nothing about this game, Bobby. Inform me.
I watched a little bit of Jim Sterling's like review on it and watched some gameplay of it there. You play as an alien who comes down, and it's kind of like an action game, 3D action adventure game, where you're running around a setting and you're blowing everything up, controlling people's minds. You have all sorts of powers, and you're just... It's kind of like GTA in a way. We're just destroying everything. You can hop into your little UFO and like just destroy buildings and just decimate entire areas. It looks very arcadey, and like I couldn't understand from all the gameplay that I watched, what is the overall goal or the mission, or like, you know, what are you trying to accomplish with this?
It's in the title, Bobby.
Well, I mean, you're trying to destroy all humans, but if that's it, like if it just drops you down and you just shoot everybody, I mean, that's kind of cool for like 20 minutes, but it's got to get pretty old.
It's got to be the comedy, man. It's got to.
Yeah.
You know, from what I'm seeing, yeah, exactly what you're saying. Arcadey, very casual.
Mm-hmm. So, well, it's set in the 1950s, so there's a lot of old-fashioned humor. You know, they make a lot of like communist jokes in it. Mm-hmm. But it is overwhelmingly positive reviews out of 2000 reviews, and everybody seems to enjoy it. I'm wondering if that's because people really liked the first one, and this one, from what I've heard, really sticks to what the first one was about, the original one. I wasn't even aware of this game before, like the original Destroy All Humans.
How much is this, Mark?
I want to say 35 or 30 bucks, $29.99.
Yeah, it's sandboxy, whatever. It seems like a stress reliever.
Yeah.
I'd play this.
I don't know if I'd pay 30 bucks for it. Like,
well, I know you wouldn't pay 30 bucks for it. But.
I mean, are there different levels? Like, is there like some sort of, I didn't really see any sort of like stealth thing, because it seemed like you had to keep your profile kind of low, and that's where the mind control stuff came in. I don't know. But it's really good reviews, though, so there's got to be something there.
There's got to be something.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye on
it. It's not evident. It's not popping out at us why, and we're not denying it. We just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Let's read some reviews. Fuck it. We're down the rabbit hole already.
All right, let's get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
Loading reviews. Great remake. Probably the only one I can think of where I was actually excited to play it again. Hope they do Stubbs the Zombie as well. Okay, so obviously someone who's played the game before.
I know it was a remake. I thought it was a sequel, but it's just a complete...
Yeah, okay. It's a remake. Original Destroy All Humans was one of my favorite games. Mm. Okay, yep.
How does it make you feel being so smart, Bobby?
It's a faithful remake of the 2005 cult classic.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, I mean, great remaster. Yeah, dude. So everyone just played the original one. They really like this.
Not to say that it's a bad game.
Yeah, yeah, I mean...
Yeah was so loaded, dude. yeah. It could go fuck itself, but yeah.
Okay. All right.
Never seen Mars Attacks, man.
You've never seen Mars Attacks? No. Dude, I saw that at the theater, and that came out like 95, 96. So I was like on the cusp of puberty, probably. I was like 12 or 13 years old, and I remember seeing that movie and being like, this isn't good. This is not a good movie. This is, in fact, a bad movie. Because it was the first time
I ever... Did you know at the time what spoofing was? Isn't it a big spoof?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like...
a lot of genres and stuff,
Yeah, it's like kind of spoofing like the old 50s alien movies, but it
which
also...
Which you would have no... No knowledge.
Not really, but you kind of pick up on the tone of it. And also, it was just every single celebrity was in that movie. Literally everybody in that movie, dude. Sarah Jessica Parker, Michael J. Fox, what's the guy? It's not unusual. You know who I'm talking about. Tom Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody had like a bit part in that movie, dude. And they all got blown up by aliens. But that was the first time, like, I went and saw that, and I was aware this is a Tim Burton movie. You know, loved The Nightmare Before Christmas, was aware of the Batman movies, and I knew he had made those. So I was, like, excited that I was going to see another Tim Burton movie.
When did you realize that you're, like, a movie guy?
I don't know, man, because like I want to say like a couple years ago is when I developed good taste in movies. Like that's when I really started watching a lot of movies and then just being like, I started agreeing more with like movie critics, like as to what was good and what was bad. But I don't know. I've always like really been into movies, like from a very young age, dude. Like me and my really good friend, we used to just like go through so many movies, dude. And we'd like literally just communicate movie quotes or something. Like everything was like if anything happened, we always had like a movie quote queued up to like, that would be relatable to whatever happened. You
is
know?
that funny guy that I met that you brought over?
Matt? No. This is another friend of mine who I haven't talked to in a very long time. He joined the military. He went to Iraq. And now he lives in, I want to say, Louisiana or Alabama or something. Mm. And
has a collection of naked Barbie dolls, like PTSD.
No, he got married. And here's the crazy thing, dude. Like, He's a pretty religious guy, mm-hmm. and he married someone who's also pretty religious, and I think she's maybe even more religious than him because their kids aren't allowed to watch movies.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, or maybe there's like only certain ones. I don't know, man. These are like things I've heard from someone who heard from someone kind of thing.
Here is where I'm at with that on a small scale. Mila just watched The Mask.
Mm-hmm.
7 times in a row. Like, she fucking
loved
it.
The Jim Carrey mask, dude. Yeah. Jim Carrey. Yeah.
Somebody stop me.
Oh, God. Is she aware? Because I didn't realize this until my mom explained it to me, but there's a joke in that movie where a guy gets, like, pipes shoved up his butt. Mm. And remember, they're walking out, and, like, he's, like, screaming in pain, and, like, the other guy's on the phone, like, I need the best proctologist you got.
Oh, no.
I never picked up on that as a kid. And then my mom was like, that's not a problem. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, she like explained it to me. I'm like, oh, that's what's happening. Like, I had no idea. It went over my head.
I doubt it, dude. I doubt it.
Yeah.
But now we're like, can she watch Ace Ventura? I don't know. I mean, there's an 8-year-old.
There's that sex scene in there.
Not just that, but Sam saying how sexualized the whole thing is. And I was like, Austin Powers.
Oh, Austin Powers.
Yeah. Well, we talked about both of them. We talked about Ace Ventura because she's not going to get the whole transgender joke at all,
mm-hmm.
which is super insensitive.
Transphobic at the end of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's spoofing the Crying Game, which nobody really gets anymore.
Yeah, she's not going to get the reveal. Uh-huh. But it doesn't matter because the whole movie's funny. Anyway, and then the other ones.
Yeah, it's about his antics. That's all like you're paying attention to as a kid.
Yeah.
And all righty then and all that shit.
And talking with your butt, she's going to laugh her ass.
Oh, yeah, dude. That.
Yeah.
That's going to bring down the house.
But Austin Powers is sexualized.
Oh, yeah.
I think
the
super
penis pump and like. Yeah. Yeah. And
Johnson. Oh, that's a great Johnson.
Yeah. That I think that was in, well, they did that gag in both of them.
In two, I think.
But did they only do it in the second one?
I feel like they left off the first one. He shot into space and they did it. And they carried it on.
They did something in the first one. I don't know if it was the penis joke and then, you know, Wang and Johnson and Dick and like all that. But then Willie Nelson.
Chop it up and make guacamole. But yeah, the fembots and there's just a lot of sex.
Okay, well, here's the thing though, dude. Like, I rewatched the Austin Powers movies maybe about a year ago, and they did not really hold up. Although, now that I've watched all the old James Bond movies, I kind of get it because the old James Bond movies were so, they were pretty poorly done as far as like, yeah, it's very obvious they're speeding up the film or like they have some gadget and it's all like it's not great filmmaking. And that's kind of what Austin Powers was playing on. Like, it's very obvious he's wearing like the fake chest hair. And then when he does Fat Bastard in the fat suit, like it's literally you can see where the suit ends and his skin begins. It's like the worst. It's like below SNL quality costumes.
You're ruining my mental image. In my mental image, I was like,
yeah, nobody paid attention to that at all.
He's perfect. It looks like he's fat.
I don't think the first one holds up very well. I didn't like it nearly as much. The second one and the third one, I never even really liked. And then I'm like, watching it again now, I'm like, okay, that's actually not that bad.
I've never laughed harder, I don't think, two things have gotten me in my life where I thought I was going to hurt, damage something. One was, well, now that we're talking about Austin Powers 3, when he's Mini-Me is crawling through his spacesuit.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't take it, dude. It was too much.
Really? That? Okay. Physical comedy. All right.
I lost it. And then the other one was Monty Python's Holy Grail when the limbs were getting chopped off.
Mm-hmm.
That classic scene. I could not handle it, dude. I could not handle it. I almost hurt myself.
Wow. I remember seeing Austin Powers 2 in the theater, and the funniest thing I almost fell out of my chair laughing at was where it breaks into that little music video, and he sings Just the Two of Us with Mini-Me. But then there's another, I can't remember if it was that or it was the other point where he's singing What If God Was One of Us, and then he just turns to the camera and he goes, yeah, I wrote that. And I don't know why, but I just thought that was so funny. I just like that weird little aside that he had.
Hey, I want to bring something up, and this is going to take some listener participation. I brought it up to Bobby the other day that we constantly complain about how little time we have, and that's not fun to listen to, although you might be able to relate to it. I feel like nobody wants to hear that, so I floated it out there to Bobby that we should maybe open up more topics, talk about movie. I mean, we end up talking about movies every other episode anyway, and we have a side podcast where we talk about movies. By the way, let me plug the next Gaming on the DL. We're going to be talking about
Movies on the DL.
Movies on the DL. Is going to be something in Hollywood. What's it called?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which there's tons of stuff to talk about in that movie. So that's going to be a good one, hopefully.
And in preparation, I'm watching all Tarantino movies.
Oh, as you do. Yeah. You just go crazy. Well, I don't have any time.
I haven't seen all of them. Well, I try to watch a movie a day. I'm missing a day or two here or there now, but before I go to bed, I usually put one on. And the problem is all those movies are like 2.5 hours, 3 hours long, too, so that's tough. But I'm catching all the ones that I actually haven't seen.
You doing them in a row?
I'm trying to, yeah. So I did Reservoir Dogs. I watched Pulp Fiction. Going to do Jackie Brown next, which I hear is really good. A lot of movie critics have said that's his best one. But I realized I know every single part of Pulp Fiction, never actually sat down and just watched it straight through.
Yeah, yeah.
Noticed so many more things in that movie.
Every time I see Hateful Eight, I like it more.
Hateful Eight?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that one was good.
But anyway, should we open it up to more topics? Doesn't mean the episodes would necessarily get longer. But maybe we cut out some of the fat or whatever. When we say we don't have time, it's because, like, he has to spend time with his girlfriend. They're watching movies together. I have to spend time with my family. We're usually watching Netflix or YouTube together or something like that. So if those things are topics that you guys want to hear us talking about, because here's my thought process. I feel like you guys like to hear us talk. That's why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
You might like it more if we're talking about things that we're actually engaged in than things we feel sometimes to be forced into talking about. Like if there's no news sometimes, there's just no news. We had like an episode that was just over an hour the other day, and that's super short.
Yeah.
That's just intro and outro and how you guys doing. But anyway, just an idea. Get to us. I don't know where you would respond to us.
Discord?
Yeah, but where?
I don't know. We need like a feedback.
Yeah. I'm just throwing it out there.
Channel.
Yeah.
Just an idea. And, you know, we've talked about different variations or different forms that could take. Maybe even a whole separate podcast that we put out that's just us talking about whatever, you know, just our week, basically. Movies, TVs, video games, books, you know, whatever we want to talk about, whatever happened to us. But yeah, if you want to actually hear us talk more in depth about specific movies, if you are a patron at any level, then you get access to it's only once a month until we hit the goal, but every month we choose a movie and we talk about it in depth. Movies on the DL.
Yeah, it's not a review. It's just more of a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby's like a movie buff and I'm just like a guy who watches movies. And so I always have questions for him, and he has got the answers. And yeah, I feel like you get both perspectives.
Yeah. We've only had like a half hour long too.
Yeah. I feel like we've had some really good ones and some, like Jojo Rabbit, there's not a whole lot to say after the first 10, after you explain it, there's not a whole lot to say about that movie. Mm-hmm. Not to say it was a bad podcast, but there's not a whole lot of material, even though it's a great movie.
Yeah, I thought that one was pretty good. All right, well, back to video games here. We got a few more games on the radar here. The next one is called Lust from Beyond. This is a very Lovecraftian adventure game. I can't pull up the Steam page because it's got some nudity in it and you need to be logged in and over 18 to be able to view it, so it's not letting me pull it up. So I'll pull up this YouTube video here. But
that looks like something.
It's very creepy. They said inspired by like Lovecraft and H.R. Giger, the guy who mm-hmm. created a lot of the artwork for the Alien movies. And yeah, it looks very creepy. It looks a little demonic, but mostly very otherworldly. It's got like that purple color that purple like light mist color that seems to be in a lot of Lovecraft movies and tales.
By the way, if you've never heard the words H.R. Giger before, just Google it. H.R. Giger. Crazy, crazy art. Definitely worth taking a look mm-hmm. at.
Yeah, he was going to... Yeah, something really interesting to check out with H.R. Giger is his sketches for... He was going to make Dune with Alejandro Jodorowsky before they ever made it in 84, but they wanted to do like huge, crazy things that just probably wouldn't have been possible in the late 70s. But a lot of the sketches and artwork he did for that, like for the Dune movie they were going to make in the late 70s, is pretty interesting.
I bet. Everything he makes is interesting.
Yeah. Unusual guy. He died not too long ago.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. 5 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so this game looks very creepy. You're going through this like giant mansion, uncovering secrets, solving puzzles.
Great graphics.
Yeah, looks pretty good. Can't bring up the Steam page, so I'm not sure what the price point is on it, but this is actually something that I'd be interested in checking out. If the price was right, I'd give this a shot.
Would you play it in VR?
Yeah.
Would
I don't
you
know.
Play it in VR.
Yeah, I don't think it has VR, but I don't know. Is there going to be a lot of jump scares, a lot of cheap jump scares, a lot of quiet bang? I don't know. So that's Lust from Beyond. Next up, Fey Tactics.
Dude, Captain, I think you just came up with a great fucking bit for us. We could work on it later, but a Price is Right, dude. Like, maybe Sniper prepares 3 games for us and shows us, and then we guess the price. Hmm. That's pretty good. I like it.
Yeah, that might be fun. Of course, how would you hide the price on a Steam page? Because I feel
Don't show us a Steam page. Well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you'd have to show us something.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Maybe a YouTube video that doesn't reveal anything about the price.
Yeah. I like it. I like the idea. Fey Tactics, right in the title, it tells you that it's very close to like Final Fantasy Tactics, which was very popular at the time. It kind of mixes a little bit of story with a lot of combat. In I want to say like proto turn-based or tactical RPG, like these were the first tactics games way before, although I guess XCOM was around the same time, mm-hmm. but yeah, this was like, you know, the cartoony Japanese version of tactics games. This and like Ogre Battle and stuff like that, which I was a fan of all of this stuff. Whether or not like the nostalgia enough to hold up a game that's just mediocre, I don't know. But I'm just looking at it, and it reminds me of a lot of like good memories. Yeah, I don't know. I have to see more about this, but it's cool. I'm glad that somebody's making a tactics game for that's like this. Although, Bobby, the one that you were talking about 1 month ago about. The same kind of thing, but it has the environmental thing where you drop the rocks on them or pull the trees.
Fort Triumph.
Mm-hmm. That's more interesting to me because it has more new stuff to it.
than this. That was definitely, and that's always what I look for with a tactics game at this point, because I've played so many of them and I do enjoy them. But if it's just the basic three turn points, every turn characters go in this order, there's an Overwatch ability, or, you know, like all that standard stuff, then it's kind of boring. But Bobby, when they start doing different things,
can you spend the $5, dude? Can you please play Grounded? And then can you please play Gears Tactics? It's like $5. I'll give you the $5 if you promise to spend them on Game Pass.
But here's the thing, man. Like, I've got so many games, so many great games out there, too, that I haven't played. So it's just like, why? Nothing's really pulling me that far.
Grounded? No?
It looks very cool. I'll give it that. It looks awesome. But, yeah, I could live with not playing it right now.
Okay.
But this, however, not doing it for me. I don't know.
Yeah,
Tactics.
Yeah, I just wanted to let people know that play Final Fantasy Tactics, that there's somebody trying to do something similar.
Hmm. All right. Last one is, apparently this didn't get linked correctly, Tainted Grail.
Yeah. Did I fuck
that
up?
There it goes. No, yeah. I got it. I clicked on the wrong thing.
This is what I was talking about before. It's kind of like Banner of Ruin. A little different. It's an open world RPG or a hardcore roguelike. It's one of these games where you could choose the difference. And okay. I started thinking about this, dude. If you've already made a game and it's out there and it's good or bad or whatever, you made a game and you did all the work.
Mm-hmm.
For you to extract a roguelike from that isn't, in my head, not that hard. Like, you've already made, like, a roguelike is a mechanic. So all you have to do is take your existing game, extract what you need for a roguelike, and just apply it. So, like we were talking about earlier, the game I kept talking about, Remnant, they just extracted a roguelike from what they already had. And it's fun as shit. Like, it's really fun.
Hmm.
I feel like not a whole lot of a lot of work has to go into it. Not compared to the regular game.
You already have all the assets.
You have the damage. You have all the numbers worked out. You have the difficulty of the bad guys. You have literally everything. All you have to do is put the whole process on repeat and on random. And there you go. So anyway, I believe Tainted Grail has been out for a little bit with the open world RPG. You run around on a world kind of like Final Fantasy, like the old ones when you're running around on the world. And you can see the encounters. You go up to them. Once you get into an encounter, then it's actually a card game. But you can see it played out. Kind of like Hand of Fate. It reminds me a little bit of Hand of Fate as far as like when the battle goes down. And you can select a very Slay the Spire, which is cool. I don't know much about the roguelike part, but I started watching I don't know much about the RPG part, but I watched some video about them playing the, roguelike part and I like it a lot. I guess you're carrying this torch and as you move through the world, the torch is running out of fire. And you have to light the next compass before the torch runs out or something. You're trying to spread the light. Yeah, so the more you walk around, the worse it is or whatever. Anyway, looks good. Good reviews. I'm actually interested in this game. I'm going to pick this up. I don't like that it's in early access. But see, a game like this, I feel like if I wait, I'll forget about it. And I'll also not see it again.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the artwork and the style is a little generic. It looks good, but yeah, it looks like a lot of other things out there as well. This definitely seems like something that could get lost in the pile. It's $25 bucks, so it's not like super cheap, but not expensive.
It's a little steep for an early access game, right?
For early access, yeah, that is. Unless that's just going to be the price that they're going to have.
Yeah, man. When it's 1.0. I'm totally okay with them raising the price at 1.0. I think that's a totally okay thing to do. But it's tough when you start at $25. So what are you going to raise it to? Or are you not going to raise it, like Bobby said?
I mean, not all of them raise it. I don't think Deep Rock Galactic raised it when they went 1.0.
Risk of Rain 2 is about to go 1.0. We'll see what they do.
Mm-hmm. And what's that at, $20?
Yeah, 20. I think it's always been at 20.
Seems like a good price for it.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for On the Radar. Thank you, Captain Gummy, for that subscription. 12 months, 1 year, man.
Boom.
1 year.
And he says we're worth the money. He's probably talking about something else.
All right, let's talk a little news here, a little news. First up in news, this is some video game movie news. Detective Pikachu director and Netflix are tackling a Beyond Good and Evil adaptation.
I wish I had played this game so I could talk about it.
I hear a lot of good things about Beyond Good and Evil. I think once I went back and tried to play it, but it's a very old game.
Yeah.
Graphically. And the new one, Beyond Good and Evil 2, they've been talking about that forever and ever. It looks fantastic. Every time they show us a little bit of footage from it, it looks amazing. But it's just been one of those things that have just been constantly, you know, talked about and never came to fruition.
4 years? I want to say 3 years at least we've been talking about that. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it looks like Netflix is going to be making a series out of it, which probably not a bad idea. So I never watched Detective Pikachu. I've heard it was pretty good for a video game movie.
You call yourself a movie buff.
I know, right? I mean, I'm not a Pokemon guy, though, at all. I totally missed that growing up. I was a little too old for it.
Didn't you say this is the highest rated video game based adventure or a movie?
I think it might be.
I think you said it in one of your movie game reviews. See, Bobby, I actually fucking watch those things.
I don't know, because this came out before I had done a lot of those movie game reviews.
See, Bobby, I don't listen to those things.
So let's see. Direct the streamer's adaptation of the cult 2003 sci-fi game. I wonder what it's going to look like. Like, is it going to look animated? Is it going to be 3D animated? Is it going to be live action?
Who knows? Wakonia says, I played Beyond Good and Evil. Very inventive, interesting world. Would make a good, make for a good movie/show.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that have played that game are very nostalgic about it, and they really... I always remember the early days of listening to the PC Gamer podcast. They had Logan Decker on there. He's not with them anymore, but he really liked this game, and he would talk about how amazing some of the story elements were and how it got such an emotional response from him.
I feel like a reboot would even do well. Just something I always fuck it up, Bobby. What's the website that makes sure things run fine on your computer? Is it GOG?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they have it? And
I would think they
did. You have mechanical problems, or it just wasn't working for you?
No. It was just graphically very old, and it's got a lot of story to it, and it's, I don't know, it didn't really hit me right off the bat. I'm
pretty intrigued.
It was a long time ago. I was probably looking for a game. I want to shoot something, bang, bang, and then it was just 3 minute cutscene. Nope. But I'd imagine it's on GOG. Let's take a look. Beyond Good and Evil. Yep, there it is.
That is $10.
$10 on GOG.
We're talking what? Early 90s?
2003.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I might check it out. I hate playing old shit. I don't know, but I really like the world. It's kind of like this cyberpunky. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's like a futuristic. There's a pig person, and
they're called
Anthropomorphic. Anthropomorphic animals. It's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next bit of news here. Ninja wants to branch out into movies, voice acting, and more. So I saw this story floating around a couple of sites. This one's from PC Gamer. Ninja says he's reading scripts, he's talking to people, he's looking to get into Hollywood, whatever that may be, either voice acting, acting in movies and TV shows. He does have, I can't wait for this movie, he does have a cameo in the movie Free Guy, that Ryan Reynolds movie that's coming out, where Ryan Reynolds figures out he's a character in a video game and he tries to break out of it.
Yeah.
Like a Grand Theft Auto type video game. The trailer's out there, but I think that's coming out this December. He was also in, I didn't know this, but I read it in the article and I looked it up. He was in The Masked Singer.
I saw that episode.
You did?
But we got into The Masked Singer for like half a season here at this household. What a crazy show, man. It is so strange.
I've never watched
it. The structure is strange.
Okay. But like, how is the show? Is it good? Is it...
The production value is through the roof. Mm-hmm. It's like...
Well, when I watched the clip of him on The Masked Singer, because, you know, they sing a song, they bring him out, and they're like, I don't know if people like guess who it is, but
yeah, that's what it is.
Okay. And then there's like a big reveal where they take off their mask and everyone sees who they are. And when they did that in the episode, if you look up his episode, it is, they probably cut like 15 times while he's taking his mask off.
I mean, it's the big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the big finale. I get that, but they really like, they go a little overboard. I understand you're going to do it a little bit.
I think they did it extra for him because the reveal was so lackluster. Nobody in the audience knew who he was. Nobody like on the panel knew who he was. So
really from the video, it kind of seemed like they did.
That's why they cut 15 times, dude, to try to like milk it.
I mean, it didn't seem like they were cutting stuff away. They were cutting stuff to make it last longer, the reveal. Because he goes to like take his mask off, then it cuts to like the panelists, and they're like eyes wide waiting for it. Then it cuts to like the audience. Then it cuts back to him, and he's like fidgeting with the mask. And then it cuts back to the panel. Then it cuts back to him, and he's fidgeting with the mask. I'm like, dude, just take
it's
the fucking
time.
Thing off.
Yeah,
they do that with every single person. Yeah, I would have a problem with that, dude. Yeah. Editing is like my pet peeve, dude. That's why I like these Lifetime shows. Like,
but it's a show. Don't bring up Lifetime shows, ever. You can't bring those up.
No, dude, I'm talking about, no, not Lifetime, TLC. TLC, like the one,
yeah,
like
those two. You can't, that's like,
dude, there's interesting
fodder.
Content in there.
No.
But the way that they edit it.
But because it's trying to make the most money, or like.
Yeah, it's hooks. Restrict. They're putting in hooks. Yeah. So like that anyone flipping through channels like lands on it, and they just like, they get the good
what's
stuff.
What was that content called, Bobby?
What content?
I don't know. What's the good content that you're talking about?
Oh, what's the good content. Well, like.
Go ahead.
The one with like really overweight people, or like they got a drug addiction, or the one where they have like strangers marry each other, or like, you know, like 90 Day Fiance. Like there's some good, interesting stuff there, but they just milk it so much. Like I watch that.
It's like a diluted documentary.
Yeah, very diluted. It's like they added like a bunch of water to it and then stirred it around. It's like if I could get in there, man, and just cut that up, I could turn a whole season into like 3 hours and it'd be the best 3 hours you ever saw.
But that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
They're trying to fill space, which is why you don't like TV.
But they have more footage. Just, I don't know.
So I just watched, I brought this up, I think. Anyway, Alone on Netflix, right? Great. Fucking, I'm a fan. Like, it's season 6 and I love it. It's 6 people alone. Did I not bring this up on the podcast?
Yeah, I just want to see some visuals so I remember right here.
It's funny because they're self-filming, but I thought the shots were great. They're just in a really pretty place, too. So, anyway, 6 people alone by themselves, and they have to survive. Last person to survive gets $500,000 Canadian. And... It was great. It was fucking fantastic watching season 6. It's almost like hands-off editing. It's almost like it's just the footage and that's it. There's no narrator. There's no explanation. It's just like these people are alone. There's little pop-ups that come up, like little bubbles, and that's about it. And they're not intrusive, and I love it. It was great. I'm such a fan that I went back to go watch the other seasons. Season 3 has a narrator. Has this whole like build up episode, has all this like what you're talking about, like just like fluff and cuts and shit. And I was just like, oh, they hadn't figured out who they were yet. The show's still great, but I have to go through. Yeah. Oh, it's on the History Channel as opposed to Netflix. Oh,
okay.
Huge difference. There's all that, like when they come back from commercial.
Even so did they used to be on Netflix? Then they went to the History Channel?
It's a Canadian show. It's Canadian television.
Okay.
And they cut it up for American.
All right.
Stuff.
So it's re-edited.
Yeah. And so when you watch the History Channel version, cliffhanger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Commercial break. There's no commercial break. It's on Hulu. And then you come back, and then you have to rewatch that cliffhanger at mm-hmm. the beginning.
Yeah.
Is there anything more infuriating, dude, when there wasn't
yeah.
an...
Yeah, dude. No, that's exactly what these Lifetime shows do. Like, they'll usually end an episode on the cliffhanger, which they've already teased, like, earlier in the show, and then the next show starts, yeah. and then they have, like, the cold opens a cliffhanger, and then, like, by the time you actually get to the point in the show where the actual crazy shit happens, you've seen it five times yeah. before. So it's totally ruined. Yeah, it's infuriating. One of those shows I was watching...
They're a bunch of fuckers, Bobby.
Yeah. I mean, they're geniuses, I guess, because it's just like...
They're making money,
they're exploiting human or psychological weaknesses, but yeah, it's infuriating from my perspective. There was one that was edited so badly. It was a Married at First Sight episode, and it's, you know, like so much of that show, a couple just arguing with each other, and they're sitting on the bed, and like they cut to the girl and she's yada 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 yada, and they cut to the guy and he's like standing back and he's got a backwards hat on and he's just kind of like over there kind of like you know, doing the guy thing. They cut back to her and she's like still talking. They cut back to him and he's like leaning forward and his brim is facing forward.
Yeah.
And then I was like, that's weird. That's like a super quick like hat, you know, hat flip. And then like they, you know, they cut back and forth basically, but the hat goes like frontwards, backwards. It's like this continuity error in there. And it's totally like they're constructing the argument between this couple. Yeah. They're like, let's take what she said here and then put what he said here as a response.
And make it worse than it was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's all just like, so, and I don't know, man, it's pretty crazy, but I guess that builds up the drama.
Hey, Bobby, what about video games?
We got from
Ninja saying he wanted to be on TV.
Yeah, he's trying to get into Hollywood, man. So, I mean, good luck with that. But I don't know. Do you think he's going to have the audience there? He has an audience.
Will it follow him?
But he seems like he's pretty good on camera.
Yeah, like, he's comfortable and everything like that. Yeah. He's not a good looking person, I don't think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. He's intelligent, I guess. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, he's not hideous. But he seems like he could do well there, but it doesn't seem like he would have much.
Yeah, I feel like whatever it is, he's going to bring 10% of his audience. And that is like a profitable whatever it is. That's why his foot is in the door.
Yeah, it's just kind of hard because he's such a... He's so reliant on his brand, you know, with his like crazy colored hair and everything like that, that you put him in a movie where, you know, he's playing a character, he's playing somebody else, you know, that's not really going to be appealing. So, you know, in Free Guy, he's doing a cameo, and The Masked Singer, he's playing himself. You know, he's always, I can't see
voice
him being
acting would be best.
Yeah. Like voice acting, maybe,
but
I guess.
Then you don't pull your audience with you, I feel like.
Yeah. Cause then people wouldn't even really know. I mean, you could try to advertise that, but
He's a highlighter. So
I don't know. Maybe he'll get his own TV show or something, like Tosh.0. All right, last article here. Achievements are starting to appear on the Epic Game Store. About time.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much it.
They just had their Steam sale or their summer sale, and I went. I mean, I know people shit on Epic all the time, and I wouldn't say rightfully so. I think they get way more hate than they should. Their store pages for each game, I hate the entire experience. Have you ever?
It's not a good user experience.
It's not a good user experience at all. Mm-hmm. Like, you click on the game, you're like, oh, this looks interesting. You click on it, and then a video starts playing.
Automatically.
Full screen.
Yeah.
Which I guess I wouldn't care if it was.
And it just repeats too.
Yeah. That's it. And I don't know how to find more content. I will scroll down. There's a bunch of information that I'm not interested in.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I've already been like massaged into the Steam. Like that's.
Well, you go to a Steam page and you see like a bunch of screenshots or videos playing there. You look over, you see the reviews, you see who the developer, the publisher is. You scroll down, you see how much the game costs. You scroll down even more, you see the reviews and like what people are saying about it.
I'm saying. Have we been conditioned to but here's the thing.
But even the GOG store has, I mean, that's a very simple layout, but they still do a good job. Like the GOG store is better than the Epic
so
one.
So this is how I navigate Steam. There's the media, right? Right below the media, there's information. Mm-hmm. And below that, there's more information. Those two blocks, I ignore completely. I always look at that right column of information. That's what's relevant to me.
Mm-hmm.
Epic doesn't have that right column at all, anywhere, as far as I can tell. Also, there's not a bunch of media underneath of it. Like, there's just that one video.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to go to YouTube.
They just need some very simple upfront facts in the right column. And GOG does this as well. It'll say this works on, you know, this is compatible with Windows, XP, 7, 10, whatever. This game takes up this amount of space. Like, it has some just really relevant information front and center right there. And, yeah, I don't know.
It's the only thing outright that I could say that is bad about Epic. Everything else I'm okay with.
Yeah, I mean, they're slowly getting there, too. I mean, I remember it was maybe about a year ago, probably longer. They had that whole list of things and a roadmap of what they wanted to accomplish. And, you know, the achievements, I don't really care about, but, I mean, that's something that a lot of people do. And they don't even have them active just yet. It's only working for ARK, Survival Evolved, and they're testing it out at this point. Now, what I'm wondering is...
it's harder than I thought. I would imagine.
Yeah, it must be. Everything is.
I guess the game has to talk to the host server, and the host server has to communicate back to the game.
Well, are there going to be the same achievements? I imagine there will be.
A lot same of achievements crossover. Yeah.
That there would be on Steam? Because have you ever played a game on, like, say, Xbox or PlayStation, then played it on Steam and noticed if the achievements match up?
Well, something like Binding of Isaac, it would have to be, because the achievements are... unlocks in the game. Every achievement is an unlock.
Yeah.
So you would have to set them up exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm thinking is the architecture of their program wasn't initially made for, they weren't thinking about achievements. And so mm-hmm. that's why they're having a hard time.
They just
it.
Said, all right, fine, we'll just make that. Yeah, that's
why. Why can GOG with a hundredth, I'm going to go away, say a hundredth of the resources mm-hmm. that Epic has, they got it done, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Not really an excuse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I got to go get shit face for the listener questions.
The listener questions. Okay. Oh, are you going to make a drink?
Yeah, I never got fucking a weekend, dude. I worked all goddamn weekend.
Well, it's not a weekend, dude. You got to go to work tomorrow. All right. Well, while he's doing that, I'll just mention that there are ways you guys can support us. Number one, you can become a Patreon. Check it out at dlgaming.net, or a patron, I should say. That's probably the best way to directly support us. Number two, you could always subscribe to us on Twitch. That helps us out as well. And then we do have some sponsors, Gorilla Mind. If you go to our website, you can go to the sponsors section, dlgaming.net, and, find the links there, but Gorilla Mind is a cognitive enhancer you can buy, and if you use our affiliate link, we get a cut of that. Pretty good cut, too. So you get something, we get something. And then also Insidious, you can get a discount on that and support us if you use the code. What's the code? DL Gaming? DLG. Use the code DLG on checkout and try Emilio's Insidious. What is that? Oh, that's a lemon. Sparkling water.
Yeah, with a little bit of flavor in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had those before. Those are from Costco, right?
Yeah. For, you know, what's that French? LaCroix was the first one out of the gate with that.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody could figure out what, because the flavoring, I've talked about this before, but the flavoring said, the ingredient said, water, carbonite or whatever, carbonation,
mm-hmm.
and then flavor essence. And then I guess it was a hard time figuring out what it was. I read an article that was uncovering the truth of what it is. It is not fruit juice. It is the juice of the flower. And so that's why it's just the essence. It's just enough to get you that like hint of the flavor without giving you the whole.
Interesting.
Yeah. And there's no calories because it's just essence.
I never drank that stuff, but my girlfriend drinks a lot of it. So that I kind of got into it a little bit because of that. But the nutritional value is actually pretty impressive. Like
it's just zeros.
Yeah, you could totally, if you could replace sodas with that, you would be doing your body such a big favor.
Yeah. I mean, I've never drank sodas. I don't think I've ever drank.
When I was younger, I was big on sodas. But as I got older, no. I mean, unless they were mixed with alcohol, I never really drank sodas. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And it's weird. Like, I would even become more dehydrated, it seemed, when I drank sodas. So,
what happened to Bobby Eats Mexico?
I don't know, man. We were split up for a while, so we couldn't do it.
Yeah, and then it kind of died. But, yeah. I'm working on it.
All right, listener questions. We got a lot of them, so let's get through it. First one comes from M. Pilaf. What do you guys think about Roy Jones Jr. fighting Mike Tyson?
So Mike Tyson's been in on my radar a lot because he kind of talks to a lot of people that I listen to. And he's like in a really good place spiritually. You know, he's really open about the crazy, crazy life. Dude, Customato, which was his coach, used to hypnotize him into being fearless, basically. Mm. Whether or not that was an attribute, if it worked out or whatever. But yeah. Like, Customato only cared about world championships, and that was it, like, before he died, and he got it. Anyway, he has a crazy story, man. It's a crazy, crazy story. And he, you know, he's doing a lot of psychedelics, a lot of, like, looking at introspective and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then he posted this one video of him practicing, and people were like, oh my God. He wasn't practicing. He was just kind of like moving. And it was really impressive. And people were like, holy shit. And then he talked to somebody and he was like, all those people, all those millions of people saying how cool it was, it built up my ego again. And he's like, my ego's dangerous. and so he's like, yeah, I'm good for, he's like, I'm good for like an exhibition. And this is why he wants to do an exhibition, because there's going to be no drug testing. I saw him with his shirt off, dude. He's a fucking gorilla, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, for his age.
He's in a commercial right now with his shirt off.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. There's some commercial. But yeah, I mean, he's in surprisingly good shape for his age. But, God, dude, there was something I watched like a couple of years ago. A friend of mine put it on one time when I was over at his house. It was like supposed to be kind of stand-up comedy, but also like an evening with Mike Tyson.
Yeah, it's a one-man show.
Yeah, like a one-man show. He's wearing like a white suit in it, I think. And he was so hard to understand during that thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what killed it. Because other than like a friend of mine just putting it on and showing it to me, like I had never even heard of that.
Dude, first of all, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he talks about his life.
If you could understand it. Mm-hmm. So, man, I must be getting old. But me and Sam, everything we watch on Netflix, we watch with subtitles. It's just like, you're going to miss something.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you may not hear what somebody said. Yeah.
So we just watch it all with subtitles and something like that. And he makes fun of his pronunciations throughout the entire mm-hmm. thing. That one-man show is a masterpiece, dude, because it's so self-deprecating for somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
He married Robin Gibbons, right, who was like the hottest black girl on planet Earth at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she had him by the balls, like completely. He was like in a turtleneck, and they're doing this Papa Walters like interview, and he's looking at the video of the interview, and he's commenting on the video. He's like, "Look at that piece of shit! Look at that piece of shit!" He's like, "Look at me! I'm completely pussy whipped. That man has no balls, dude. He's just completely making fun of himself, man. Oh, it's great."
All right, next question from Jirotrom. How's Dragon Quest XI? I love DQ games, but they are very traditional style RPG games with a lot of cheesy charm, and it's not for everyone. DQ 11 is actually best on Switch because of the update with Love Music. You can mod the PC version, though. Thoughts?
There hasn't been a game that I've spoken about that I've gotten more private messages about than this game.
Really?
Like, there are some super fans out there, man. Probably four people message me directly, and including this one, which is a listener question, about this game. Hey, what'd you think of it? Blah, blah, blah. All I said was, I'm interesting to think of, like, how I would like something that I used to like when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a time for JRPG, man. But on Sundays at work, I was there for 8 hours. I might have done 1 hour of actual work, and the rest of it was sitting on a bucket that was upside down. So, Jiro talking about it being on the Switch, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's fucking awesome. I didn't even think about taking my Switch to work. So I might do that next weekend.
Yeah, what's the battery life on that?
I got a plug.
Okay.
There are actual buildings now, Bobby. Like real buildings.
With electricity running through them.
Yep. Windows, doors, everything. Yes. Paint.
Oh, man. Yeah, JRPGs, not my thing. Next question from TryHardFace. What percentage of games that you started in the last 3 or 4 years would you say you've finished? Are there any you wished you finished or are still planning to?
I've definitely finished a lot of short ones, like Ape Out.
Yeah. I mean, I figure if you finish as many games as we play, if you finish 20% of the games that you start, then you're doing pretty good.
That's a high number, dude.
Yeah, well, in the last 3 or 4 years.
And you stick to games more than I do.
Yeah, I usually try to see them through. But yeah, dude, in the last 3 or 4 years, there's absolutely no way you can do it. Like, if we're playing new games every week, I don't think there's any way we can do it.
I would say the longest game, and this is like not a long game. I think this is a 10-hour game. The longest game that I can think that I finished might have been Senua's Sacrifice, which was like 10, 15 hours, I feel like.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I finished Mechanicus, and although like I kind of stretched that out, I could have beat it quicker, but it took me a little over 20 hours. So it does happen.
Yeah.
But not often, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's true. There's been those breakout games where I'm like, I like this so much, I played it all the way through. Mm-hmm. But I can't, it was, I don't remember what it was.
Games that I want to go back and finish.
Oh, ever?
Yeah. I mean, I always keep a lot of games like added to my favorites list in Steam. And I've got games there from like 10 years ago that I still got to go back and finish. But at a point, it's kind of just like, housekeeping, dude. It's kind of like just going back to finish it just to finish it, not because I really enjoy it. And it's really hard to go back to some types of games, like, and just reacquaint yourself, especially like these city builder type games. Like, there's so much you have to relearn, and a lot of that stuff is tutorialized at the beginning. And just to jump in midway on a game, so that dude, happened with
Metroidvanias for me.
Oh yeah, because you're totally lost. Yeah, well, that happened with me last week with the Old Republic. I mentioned it on last week's episode. Like, I jumped in, I loaded up a character. He's only like level 15, but I was like, "What are all these buttons? What does what?" I got into a fight with like some like enemy, and like I'm just trying to like hit all the buttons. I'm like, "Why won't this thing die?" And it's just, he almost killed me, and I was just like, "Whatever, man. I don't want to relearn all this stuff. You know, it's just too much." Because you'd have to go back and start like an MMO. You know,
that's funny. Kurt says that he plays through a high percentage. Which is probably a personality defect, but I don't think so. I wish I got every dollar out of my games.
Well, if we didn't do the podcast,
it'd be different.
Yeah, it would be different. I would stick with games for longer, and I wouldn't pick up as many new ones either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be totally... Dude, here's like the number one answer to that question right there. Divinity Original Sin 2. I've got like 150 hours in that game, haven't beaten it.
Yeah.
I've gotten like 2/3 of the way through... 2 or 3 times.
Did you lose the interest in your solar game? Because I feel like you're burning through it.
Solar?
Solo.
Oh, solo game. No, I've gone back and played. But when I talked about this a week or two ago. Like, when I go back and play it, I totally act like I'm playing D&D now. Like, I pick out one quest, maybe two, and, like, that's my focus.
Yeah.
And I kind of see that through. And I'm being so completionist, man. I'm, like, doing, like, all the quests.
Are you enjoying it more this way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, it's more fulfilling, right?
Yeah, and you gotta, you know, like Nick said when we started playing D&D, you can't be a tryhard. And that's kind of how you gotta approach Divinity, because it really kills it when you're just looting absolutely everything. There's so much to loot, and you're like, oh, I can get 1 gold for this spoon I found in here. It's just like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
You know, I've got like 93,000 gold because I've been doing that all game. But yeah, I'm having a great time on my solo run, although I gotta say, I like having two characters way better. The 4-character team is kind of nice because you can I can do everything. Like I don't have to pass up on getting pet pal and being able to talk to animals. I can one person who can start stacking leadership, you know, like everybody's filling a role and it's very well, like, balanced and like, I've got all my bases covered. I got someone who can pick locks, you know, like I can do everything. When you only have two characters, there's some stuff you just got to be like, nope, can't do that. You know,
when you're solo one, you're doing two characters,
four.
Oh, you're doing fair.
Yeah. I got a team of four.
Two things. I got reminded of, I did not forget my whole play a game from my what's next thing from Steam. I didn't forget. I went through two bullshit games. One was a card game that had one player active, which is interesting for a card game. And the other one was...
So all you need is one opponent.
Another online game that was free to play that, like, whatever. Doesn't matter. Then I got to Kingdom Come Deliverance, which is a heavy game. I can't just step in that for an hour and...
Yeah.
And then come and talk to you guys about it. Mm-hmm. So that's my game for next week. But that segment is not dead. I just wanted to say. Yeah.
That'll be good. Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next question from Old Man Dave. What's the most overrated and underrated game in the past couple of years? Fortnite, overrated for sure. I don't know. I could give you a couple of answers to both of those questions.
It's funny with overrated because... with Fortnite is because nobody's out there saying like Fortnite's fucking amazing. It doesn't have a Metacritic of over 90.
Yeah.
What is the Metacritic on it?
It's not on. Oh, I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Look that up.
It's just,
but nobody really cares. It's so accessible. Ubiquitous. Yeah.
It's accessible. It's a free to everybody. Game. And so that's why they're making so much money. Mila has asked me so many times if I have Fortnite just because her friends are talking about
it. Yeah. It's a cultural thing now. Yeah. It's just everywhere. Yeah, it's, they managed to like pass the realm of video games and become bigger.
Yeah.
But out of curiosity, let's see. Switch, PS4, PC, 2017, 81.
I mean, it's good. It's better than I thought it was going to be.
User score is 2.9, but who reads user scores? Yeah, I don't know, man. Real answer though, like overrated games.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
I think the most profitable game for the last decade. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's overrated. Go ahead. If you got another one.
I was going to say Anthem, but nobody's rating that one that high.
Yeah.
That's probably.
For sure. I'm going to go with an underrated game. I feel like Mad Max.
Fury Road.
Yeah. Wasn't overlooked, but just.
It was a serviceable game. It was a good game, but I don't know.
I really liked it, man. I thought once I got into the car combat with all the physics and stuff, and I don't know, man, all kinds of shit happened in that game that was not scripted, that was so random, so crazy that I was like, man, this is a cat's pajamas, man. I had a really good time. I finished that game. There's another answer for you.
Yeah. Underrated games. Probably Plague's Tale. I feel like that one didn't really...
Dude, Chad was playing that last week. Mm-hmm. He goes, why did I think this was a walking simulator? This is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great game, man.
It's a great game.
I don't know if people thought, maybe that's why it didn't get as
terrible
popular.
Marketing. That's what Chad was talking about. Terrible marketing.
It's bad marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's a really good answer for an underrated game. I don't know. And there's a ton of little ones out there. Like we discover them all the time, like Ape Out. That's a game that a lot of people probably don't even know about. Great game.
It's on my short list for Game of the Year. Hints.
Damn. Seriously. All right.
Yep.
Okay, next question. Papa Bear, don't care. Suggestion for cross-platform Xbox PC 3-4 player adventure type game I can play with my kids age 9 and 11.
Grounded.
Do you think that would be too hard for young kids?
No, because dad could be doing all of the building while they just adventure and bring home.
Is that four players?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, Sea of Thieves would be a good one, too.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I guess you're limited to that Xbox Game Pass if you're looking for cross-platform play.
But you're also going up against, like, people tryhards. There's some tryhards in that game.
Yeah, well, I don't know. The only time I played Sea of Thieves, I didn't run into a lot of other people. I'm sure the game has changed drastically since then. Drastically.
And I really mean this when I say this. We really need to play that game.
Sea of Thieves? Yeah. Yeah, like I'd want to revisit you,
the maximum, the biggest ship is 5 people? Maybe, yeah, 5, I think. And just get the galleon and just go see what this game is about.
Mm-hmm. Just hit the seas.
Yep. Oh, by the way, I know I keep bringing it up, but I'm finding it to be interesting because I'm always the guy who says shit doesn't hold up, and I'm showing old movies to an 8-year-old. Mm-hmm. Tried Pirates of the Caribbean, super bored, turn it off.
It's an incredibly boring movie, dude.
That was Chad's favorite movie for a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
That I saw that in the theater and I was pretty excited about it because... love that ride at Disneyland. I think I was going through a pirate phase too, like just really into pirates. And I was so bored. And I never saw a sequel. Now the one with the octopus guy,
the third one. Yeah.
People always hold that up as some of the best CGI ever made ever in like the history of CGI, particularly that like there's a Corridor Crew video on it that talks about why it is. But like that's, yeah, great CG and all those sea monster pirates that, you know, look all Cthulhu-like. But those movies are so long and they're so boring and, like, nothing really happens. And I couldn't tell you a single thing, like a plot point about any of them. Like, oh, man.
By the way, besides Angelina Jolie, I doubt there was ever been a prettier face than Keira Knightley. I think it goes...
Keira Knightley.
God damn, dude.
She's from the, she was in the...
Pirates of the Caribbean 1.
Was she in the Spider-Man movies?
No.
Oh, she was in a Spider-Man movie.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah, how old is she now?
Yeah, she's hit the wall.
35 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's... that's why you haven't seen her. They're hot from like... There's that whole thing about the Hollywood, right? They're in movies between 18 and like 25, and then you don't see them until they can play moms.
Well, they get different... roles or...
Yeah.
Dude, I swear she was in a Spider-Man movie.
No.
I want to say she was in Spider-Man 3. No? Okay. Yeah. All right. But so you've showed your daughter Ghostbusters, right?
Loved it.
She loved Ghostbusters. She loves The Mask. I would be really interested to see what...
Princess Bride she was into.
She liked Princess
Bride. We got halfway through it, but yeah.
That one I would think would be a little tough for kids, but then there's some good stuff in there. I would be interested to hear her take on Gremlins 2, The New Batch. Because when I was a kid, Gremlins 1 is kind of a dark movie, but it's also kind of silly in parts. And it's like, it's a great movie, but Gremlins 2 is just completely wacky. And like the whole story behind that is the director did not want to make a sequel. Absolutely not going to do it. Can't talk me into it. Finally, the studio was like, we'll literally give you anything you want to make this movie. And he said, okay, I want this budget and I want this actors and I want complete creative control. And they're like, you got it.
So it was like a fuck you.
And he made a big fuck you to them because he's just like, I'm going to make this. I'm going to show people why Gremlins doesn't need a sequel. And I'm going to make this completely goofy and completely ridiculous. And you see that in the movie. Like, you know, in the first movie, there's that really dark scene where the Phoebe Cates talks about how her dad got stuck in the chimney and died on Christmas night. And that's why she doesn't like Christmas anymore. And in the second Gremlins, like she starts talking about that. She's like, oh, don't mention like Easter or something like that. And then she starts like going in, the camera starts moving in, and then Billy comes up and he's like, we don't have time for that. And the camera just cuts away. So they're constantly like playing with you know,
sequel.
Yeah. Just being like, you want a sequel?
Sequel tropes.
Too bad, you know? Yeah. And it's just
I never would have known that, dude. How much movie knowledge do you have up in there, dude? I start talking about random shit, and then you're like, well.
Oh, God, too much. But as a kid, I liked Gremlins, but Gremlins 2 was, you know, the piece de la resistance. You know, it was obviously the better choice because it had, like, all the wackiness and craziness, and I loved it as a kid. So I would be interested to see her reaction towards that movie. Mm. Like, it's kind of scary, but at the same time,
we stay away from scary stuff.
She's pretty sensitive to scary stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the scariest thing she's seen.
Gremlins would be tough for her then, because that movie does get scary. Like the spider part, the spider gremlin part, still pretty scary. And especially the first one, man. The first one, whew. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. That's the great part about kids is you can like run all these movies by them and see what they think.
Now, on the flip side of me, this is none of my doing. This is Sam showing her all these movies.
Oh, okay.
But now I'm interested. Mm-hmm. But anyway, like I have a buddy who's my age, and he forces all 80 shit down his kid's throat. Like, you need to know every quote that I talk about.
Oh, God.
and most I'm like, of that. Why are you doing this, dude? And he's like, he goes to school and he's like hitting all his friends up with these 80s movies quotes. No and boy. They're like, nobody knows what he's talking about, you know? I was like, dude.
I'd probably get a lot of those, unfortunately. But
Yeah, you would.
The 80s were a great decade for movies, but there is a lot of crap in the 80s that
of course.
Isn't really worth going back. Recycle's talking about Poltergeist in chat. He said he saw that when he was six. So Poltergeist is the reason that we have the PG-13 rating. Poltergeist and Temple of Doom, because Spielberg always was like, I make kids' movies. That's, you know, my movies are for everybody. And then when he'd do a little finagling, right? It, like he'd like wheel and deal a little bit, like to get that PG rating. But finally, when Poltergeist came out, which is technically directed by Tobe Hooper, but there's a lot of like, you know, really Spielberg was pulling the strings there. And a lot of people kind of think that ruined Tobe Hooper's career. Tobe Hooper, the guy who directed Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay.
Like, that's how he came about. But Poltergeist and Temple of Doom, I mean, Temple of Doom, they're eating brains out of a monkey, pulling a guy's heart out, and then Poltergeist, you know, guy's clawing his face off, which is actually Spielberg. Those are his hands in that scene. But like, they're like, dude, we cannot, like, this is not PG, man. Yeah. Like, and then it was like that or R, you know, so what are you going to do? So right after that, that's when they developed the PG-13 rating. And then Red Dawn was the first PG-13 movie that ever came out. So a little bit of movie history for you. Steven Spielberg, he's the reason we have a lot of things movie-wise, and the PG-13 rating is one of them.
Never mind about you guys' opinions. We're just going to put movies right into half our podcast is now movies, guys. Yeah.
Obi Yur, thank you for that subscription, man. Appreciate that.
And thanks for... I might have came off fucking rude, but I appreciate all the work you put in. Like, he put in 12 things on the radar this week. And then he put a lot of news before he did that. But I didn't have time to put on the things.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, it's a lot, dude. I was like, because we're not going to get to it all, most likely.
Well, you know, feel free to recommend away. And I usually go through and I just pick the ones that interest me and I feel like I can talk about. All right. Next question from Alpha Tonic. Did Emilio ever play Total Overdose? It's a Max Payne GTA mix in a Mexican setting.
What?
I'd never heard of this game. It is an older game. It came out around 2006, I believe. And... excuse me. I pulled up a YouTube video, and as I was watching this YouTube video, I clipped
you
this.
Triggered?
No. I clipped it out of certain parts so you can see it. There is like a restaurant called Emilio's here.
Oh, nice.
So let me full screen it. So GTA car driving along the road, and there is
nice
Emilio's hotel right there. He's driving right by. Yeah,
that's funny.
But yeah,
you get any of the action?
Yeah, it's just like GTA, dude.
Okay.
It's basically GTA. But, yeah, the main character is Hispanic. It's wearing a DEA uniform there. Here, let me turn on some of this audio. You get to some dialogue.
It's even cheekier than fucking GTA, man.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely going for comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
This is some pretty good cuts.
The chicken.
They go to a reaction shot on the chicken.
Right? Oh, man.
This is pretty good.
This Desperado has this exact same thing.
Okay. So, I mean, basically what happened, a guy walks in, he's just carrying, like, so many guns, like, just a ridiculous amount, and it's doing, like, the Mexican standoff where everybody's, like, staring at everybody, and then he just whips out the gun, starts blowing them away. But, yeah, and if you listen to the dialogue, there, you know, it's a lot of Hispanic dialogue in there, but, dude, this, 2005 is when this game came out.
We need a reboot today.
Yeah. Well, there was one of the Just Cause games, right?
Yeah.
Had that, but it didn't play it up like this.
No.
It wasn't like Machete.
No, it didn't even talk about his, besides his accent, it didn't even come
up. Didn't really come into play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, dude, I've never heard of that game, ever.
Yeah, Kurt, you're right. You can't do this game today. It'd be too Mexican-y.
Maybe. Next question from Warconius. Movie director, video game director, or porn director? Who's more impressive and why?
So, I listened to Asa Akira talk about porn directing, but she said that, like...
I can't imagine it's that hard.
She was saying that, like, they're using her name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though she is technically directing. They're professionals. They know what they're doing. You just set up the scene. Or the scene's already storyboarded. So you're not really doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the camera guys know what they're
David
doing.
David Tell's got a joke about that. I think it's in one of his comedy albums. He's like, I don't, here's the joke in my terrible David Tell impression. I'm not the type of guy who would be in porn. I'm the type of guy, I look like the kind of guy who would direct porn.
Yeah, he does.
But how hard could that be? I mean, and suck it.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's a pretty good bit, but yeah, I mean, that's the joke, man. How hard could that be? Now, that being said, I have no idea how difficult directing video games would be.
I feel like that's a management job. You know, I feel like you're not even directing.
Yeah, you're just like calling the shots and
making sure
checking in with people.
Yeah,
meetings.
I feel like. Yeah. But I was going to ask you this, Bobby, because you know so much about directors. How does one become a director? Like, what's the typical route that one takes?
Nowadays, I don't know. In the old days, do a movie with Roger Corman and work your way up. I just got finished reading, well, listening to an audiobook because at work I have infinite amount of time to listen to audio. Yeah. And I got through a book I've been meaning to get through for the longest time called Easy Rider's Raging Bull. And basically it's all about like the rise of the 70s auteur directors, Spielberg, Coppola, Friedkin, like all those people, Bogdanovich. And then how that kind of like rise and fell in the 80s. And directing was very, very different back then, man. Like that was crazy. But it's before that, the book starts out with talking about how much of a perfunctory job directing used to be before that. And it tells a story about how there was a director who had to get picked up in a car and driven to work because he was blind in one eye. He's a director and he's half blind. And then like he was going blind and a year later, he was completely blind. But this guy's out there directing movies, you know, because all they did was like action and cut, you know, for the longest time in the studio system. Then, you know, the 70s come around and you have the auteur directors who are just like, you know, I have a vision and, you know, the movie industry is desperate because no one's really seeing movies anymore. And then, you know, they make Easy Rider and everyone's like, you know, blows everyone's mind. And they're just like, well, that's the secret. Just like give some like drugged out hippie like a bunch of money and they make a crazy movie and like everybody will go see that. And that's when why 70s movies are just, you know, insane. And then Godfather kind of compounded that. And then things kind of turned more into like producer control in the 80s, although directors like Spielberg really learned to work within that system and you can make a big name for yourself. But yeah, man, but I'll tell you one thing, like to answer your question, the common theme I see in like, not even directors, maybe even like actors, but definitely directors is writing. Like it's so hard to be a director if you don't know how to write a script.
Mm.
Like you've got to learn how to like be a good writer, and you may not ever become a very good writer, and maybe like
but at least understand it.
Yeah, yeah, you understand it, and you understand like the transition from the page to the screen. You know, perfunctory. Perfunctory means like you're doing something. Someone's asking what perfunctory means. That means like you're just going through the motions. You're just doing it, kind of like you know when you're half-assing your job if you just go in there and you do it beat by beat without any passion or.
I would be an example of perfunctory podcasting.
Yeah, no, we put a little bit into this. So movie director, video game director, who's more impressive and why?
Movie director, for sure.
Yeah, probably a movie director.
Could you imagine? The only way that the fucking Marvel movies were done, it's brothers. It's two guys. It took two guys to do that. There's no way. There's no way that one guy could have done that.
Done what?
The Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh.
That's the Russo brothers.
Wait, are they directors?
They're the directors.
But not of all of them, though.
No, of the big ones, of the ones that brought everything together. But they were also the mastermind beat.
Well, that's what's weird. There are some, like, director teams, like the Coen brothers. It's always brothers. The Coen brothers, the Safdie brothers.
The Wachowski sisters.
That used to be brothers, now they're sisters. Yeah, man. It reminds me, I got to watch Cloud Atlas. Never seen it? No. Heard it's super long. And I really didn't like...
I hate to be like the ape that says artsy for the sake of being artsy, but it's artsy for the sake of being
artsy. I really didn't like that other one they did. What was the one with Mila Kunis and that other guy, Jupiter Ascending?
Oh. Yeah, that wasn't Mila Kunis. That was a...
No, that was Mila Kunis. And Jupiter Ascending?
I might be thinking of a different thing.
Yeah, no, you probably are. Anyways,
video games.
Last question from Warconius. Who would win in a fight? Melee weapons are allowed. A Viking, a Roman soldier, a samurai, or a UFC fighter?
It's tough, man.
There was a show that did this.
Yeah.
What was that show called?
It was on Spike TV. That was the man's channel, right?
Yeah, they always had like that. They used to do the video game awards and all that wacky
something
stuff.
Something Warrior. Warrior was in the name. Like,
well, they had Ninja Warrior.
Yeah. It was something like that.
And Deadliest Warrior.
Deadliest Warrior. Boom! There it is.
Thank you.
Obier coming.
And they really went into it. They'd be like, okay, let's take a Roman soldier and let's take like a samurai or something.
And what they would be carrying.
Yeah, these are the weapons armor, they would have.
Like some science-y.
Yeah, and then they would even have like these fake bodies that were like these had translucent skin so you could like see the organs and they'd like hack at it with a Roman short sword or like a samurai sword and like see how deep it would
cut. Almost like Mythbusters.
It would like measure action. The impact and they got really, really into it, man. That was actually a pretty good show. I wonder what happened to it.
The Asian guy from Mythbusters died. Did you hear that?
I think I did hear that.
Yeah,
not the guy with the mustache, the other guy, right?
No, the Asian guy. He was like one of the side pieces. You didn't watch a lot of Mythbusters.
No, I didn't. Deadliest
War. That's what's wrong with you. Now I figured it out, Bobby. You haven't watched enough Mythbusters, man. That's how you learn about the world.
I get
it. Grant Imahara, yeah.
Okay. Deadliest Warrior only had 3 seasons. 2009. Yeah.
It was a good show. And then they would, at the very end, after they do all the analysis, they would have actors play it out.
Yeah, and then they declare the winner.
Yeah.
Vampires versus zombies. Okay, so there's some like hypothetical stuff in there. French foreign language versus Gurkhas. Crazy Horse versus Pancho Villa. Yeah, man. It's like celebrity clay.
Dude, look at the rating. 97%.
Liked by people. 7.6 on IMDb. Still pretty high.
Still pretty high.
TV always gets high ratings, though.
What the... You can't just say that blanket statement.
It does. It does. They always give like the ratings is like, because it's so hard to judge it on like a per episode basis. Yeah. Yeah, man. So a Viking, a Roman soldier, a samurai, or a UFC fighter. Well, the UFC fighter wouldn't have any weapons.
Yeah.
So that's
but he would also have. Yeah, he's going to lose. I was going to say he would have all the knowledge of all the other ones because he's the most recent, but. It'd be hard to get.
Samurai's got the most armor.
I'm going to go with samurai just because their whole philosophy was one slice, one kill. And that's their whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that one slice would probably cut through everybody else's on a one-on-one, of course. Because a Roman soldier, if there was a bunch of them, they would make a shield wall. So would Vikings.
Yeah, they're better in groups.
Yeah, and samurais never did shield walls, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. A UFC fighter, he'd need a grenade or something.
A grenade. All right, that's it for listener questions. What are we playing next week?
Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Okay.
For me, yeah.
God, I don't know. I still have...
and Mortal Kombat. I'm not done with the... I haven't even got to... The Aftermath. I bought the DLC. I haven't got it. It's part one and part two. I haven't even got to it. So there's a lot there.
Okay. I might play the prologue. I like the idea of doing something kind of short, but being able to get all the way through it. So I might do the prologue for that Succubus game I was talking about last week. Also, there's a prologue for Lust from Beyond, the game we were talking about in On the Radar, that H.P. Lovecraft, H.R. Geiger looking game. And I like how they're doing this. It's not even just a demo. It's a prologue, like a free prologue. So here's chapter one for free, basically.
An ultimate teaser.
Yeah. And then when you play the game, you don't have to redo that part. It's just like, let's continue the story.
Yeah.
That's a great way of doing it.
What about the thing that we're kind of, I was kind of surprised at. Destroy All Humans. You feel like playing that demo, Bobby?
Yeah, maybe the demo. I tried it out just to see what's going on. Yeah, maybe it'll be like just a sampler week for me.
Do you have a sampler
KCD?
Plate?
What's that?
Anyways. What else we got going on? I guess that's it. That's the end of the show.
Yep. That's a wrap.
Yep. Kingdom Come. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Kingdom Come Stream Deliverance.
It. Yeah, I might. Dude, I'm really embarrassed about learning games on stream.
Yeah, it's not entertaining.
Yeah. No, not just that, but I'm embarrassed on how long it takes me to learn things. And speaking for Bobby and myself, Kingdom titties, everybody. They still sag, but they're perky. That makes sense.
You need to write down what your idea is going to be, because anthropomorphic would have worked a little bit better, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Slide me a note from that.